didn't get a good fresh
sure.
Kind of right part of my mind.
Jefferson County Park.
Yeah, right.
Jefferson County Park.
You got time this morning to wait for
and you got
perfect. Isn't
that someone you know? Yeah,
they're great. I didn't know their first one.
Good public hospital. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, I wish I'd known that.
Yeah, they have some internal.
What else we got?
What happened that day? How's that scene going?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of heavy shockers in that house as well. Beautiful.
Thanks.
Dark.
Oh.
It is. I'm not getting prepared.
Try to. Try to think. Sometimes it doesn't work.
There to all of us. Sort of working. Should have been flashing me on.
I sent to Danny wording for the application on that one. Okay.
Yes.
So.
Father, we thank you right now for this great opportunity to just bless your holy name because your name is worthy to bless. We thank you for what you're allowing our eyes to see, our heart to feel. And we know right now that it's not our goodness that we have a lot, it's your grace and your mercy. And we ask in you now to let your grace and your mercy reign with us now, that we will be able to do what's right for ourselves. We ask this and we bless you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, morning.
Okay. Item number 3, the board to hold a public hearing set for this day at 10 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible regarding adoption of a proposed resolution electing to use the uniform method of collecting non-ad valorem special assessments for the provision of fire protection services levied within the unincorporated area of the county for the fiscal year commencing October the 1st, 2019. Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, as you all are aware of, this is just a resolution of intent. I would like to say that I would encourage the board to take into consideration that if the resolution is passed, then we would have to move fairly quickly to have the board consider an ordinance, and there is a monetary factor in this. So if the board chooses to move forward, it would be probably an additional, did we say $12,000, Dan? Closer to, with the
mail out, I think it's just closer.
18, okay. So it would take an additional investment in this process if the board is considering moving forward with the assessment in general. So while the resolution would just keep that option open, we do need to consider that there would be a cost involved if the board passes the ordinance to move forward.
What is that?
Go ahead.
My question was, we don't need to spend the $18,000 until we pass the ordinance, if we pass it. Is that right? Not right?
When the board decides if you choose that you want to move forward with it, that's when we're going to have to invest the money in GSG. So
we
can start the process.
This resolution today.
No money right now.
We're getting to spending $18,000.
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, when is the not yet going to occur?
Before you would pass the ordinance, we're going to have to spend the money because we have to do mail outs to notify the public, and that's when we start incurring costs. So when the board decides you do want to pass the ordinance, before you actually pass it, is when we would
have to go ahead. Now, I really want to ask our chair to schedule a workshop dedicated just to this so we can fully have a discussion. as a board and citizens, you know, but I'm willing to stick my neck out and you know, adopt a resolution to keep this process alive.
Yes.
Before I commit to doing the ordinance, I want to have some full discussion. That's right.
And I concur 100% with you. I was going to ask a lot of questions, but I think having a workshop is the best way to do it. So we can dedicate that time exclusively to getting all the details about this, because, you know, the cost involved plus the benefit, whatever benefit there is. So, yes, I think that's an excellent idea. So I will go along this morning with the resolution, knowing that that just keeps the window open and we're not committing to anything yet except the possibility. That's correct. Okay. Anybody else?
I'm the same way. I want to get all the information out in that workshop and everybody understand we all on the same page,
right,
and where we're going and where it'll end up and the cost of it. And that will give it the citizens a chance to come speak up and get their feelings on the thing.
Right.
And we need that.
I agree. I feel it's important to do so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be right.
Now, we have provided, just so you know, some fresh paperwork. We realize that it's been quite some time before we've really discussed this. So we have included in your notes a critical event schedule, which is very important because we're a little late in the process as far as adopting the resolution of intent, if you'll recall. So we're going to have to move pretty quickly moving forward. So we can make sure that we, I don't know if you want to include this in the workshop at the end of March. We have tentatively asked for the rail folks to come in and give us an update on that.
Before the end of March.
That's what I'm thinking. Let's have a special
meeting.
Yes, we really do. Yes, sir. Well, that's why we wanted to provide a timeline for y'all, because really it would have probably been better if we had started this process a couple of months ago. So we are behind schedule. So we really do need to tackle workshop ASAP if that's what you
How much time do we need to advertise? When's the soonest we can have this meeting? Don't you have to advertise the
workshop? Oh, yes, ma'am.
We want the public here.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, this is the initial public hearing. There is one. This is scheduled. We've advertised for 4 weeks. Well, this is your first.
Yeah, she means for a special workshop. We need to give at least 24 hours notice. No,
at least 24 hours.
I think we have it next week, I would think.
Well, my turn.
Yes, sir.
I think it's imperative that your attorney be at this workshop with regard to special assessments. You know, it's a slippery slope legally. What I would request that, I'm having to leave town in just a few minutes. What I would request that you contact my office and clear it with mine, because next week is, you know, chock-a-lock full of stuff like it always is. But I think it's important because, you know, we always say that a special assessment is not a tax, but it's money. So, you know, everybody, and you've got to make sure that it's equally distributed and benefits the properties that are affected, which is the unincorporated areas of Taylor County, and it's equally, you know, because if you have a contest, a legal contest against a special assessment, that can be catastrophic if you collect it for 2 or 3 years and then it comes back and they say it's not. Remember, we all remember what happened to Madison County. We've been very fortunate with regard to our special assessments that we've have, you know, in Taylor County. And if y'all noticed, if y'all who've been on the board before, that every time I talk about special assessments, my upper lip sweats a little bit, because it's scary. Not to scare you off of it, it's just that it's something that there's going to be people that are going to be for, and there's going to be people that are going to be against it for sure. You know, I would think.
Yeah, right.
So.
I know the week of the 11th, week after next, is spring break, and I'm not available that week.
Yes.
So, but you know, I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm really cautious with this, and but I'll keep an open mind and see once we get all the data. I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh, and I think several of us feel a little torn over this question. And really the bottom line is improving fire services, and if that's something that the board wishes to address.
Madam Chair, when we advertise, it really needs to be spoken away in the paper where the people will understand what's going on, and they'll be sure to come. If they got an issue with it, they can come to the hearing.
Yes, sir.
You know, to the workshop.
To the workshop, so they can ask questions.
Commissioner Page.
Now, we were in a public hearing, and I think maybe I'll make a motion that we ask our attorney to read this resolution by title only. That's normally what we do.
Yes.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You can get to that. I get to it.
That's okay. We've got a motion to read by resolution only. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Commissioner.
Yes, ma'am. A resolution of Taylor County, Florida, electing to use the uniform method of collecting non-ad valorem special assessments for the provision of fire protection services levied within the unincorporated area of the county, stating a need for such levy, providing for the mailing of this resolution, and providing an effective date.
Thank you.
And with that, I would say this could be misunderstood very easily by just reading the title to it, because a layperson could look at this and say, y'all got the cart before the horse. You know, you're talking about how you're going to levy it. You ain't even levied it yet. You understand what I'm saying about that? So that's one thing that you need to explain to your constituents, that all this is pursuant to the statute, which is 197, subsection, blah, 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 that you are, you're not passing it at this point. You're just showing a way that it can be collected if, in fact, you go through all the steps and also pass the ordinance, which levies the special assessment on your property, and it comes with your, you know, with your bill from the tax collector each year. It's on your bill just like your other special assessment.
That's good. I hope the newspaper prints. I've been back.
Well, where are they?
We have a report.
I'm just teasing. But I just think it's real important that you're sitting there as a citizen, and you get this thing and say, holy smokes, they've done this and I didn't know anything about it. So so when they ask you about it, you need to let them know that's where it's just the start, and you have to do it in certain dates. You know, the statute comes through it. I read that statute, and you've read it, and it makes your head go a little bit crazy when you're reading the statute. I'd love to know who wrote it. Because I believe in simplicity, you know, as a practical matter. If you read the ordinances that we've passed on the years that I've been, they try to be as simple as, unless it's one that's shoved down our throats. I'm off my soapbox.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything to say?
If not, then we need a motion to pass this resolution. Is there a motion to pass this resolution?
I'll make a motion to pass it.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. If anybody else has anything to say, that concludes this portion of the special meeting. Okay. So we'll go on then to the board to continue the strategic planning session from February 2019 to fiscal year 18-19 and previous fiscal years. Yes.
Are we going to adjourn the special meeting and go into a workshop setting? further discussion, or if, are we still in session and the board can take action?
I don't know what we're supposed to do, Conrad.
I believe that your strategic planning session was a workshop, was it not? So you need to adjourn this meeting and go into the workshop. And remember, in a workshop, you don't pass anything. It's just a planning thing. And if y'all recall earlier, I told y'all that I didn't think it was necessary for me to be there, and y'all pay me for that. So with y'all's permission, I'm going to take my leave and get on the road.
Okay.
Okay. Let me say one other thing about this notice and the resolution that you passed. I have no problem with y'all saying if you're talking to one of your constituents, they say, well, I just don't understand it. You know, you can give them my number. I'll talk to them and try to tell them what's going on in terms. But if I get too many calls, I'll turn my phone. No, I'm teasing. No. but like I said, I just think this is, you know, this is something that folks need to know exactly if they've got a question. What exactly is going on with this board with regard to this?
Thank you for offering to do that. And I'll tell you another thing too. I'm just thinking maybe if you should just contact Aaron.
Yes.
And y'all sit down and talk so that, you know, when he writes this in the paper, that it's going to be simplified, but yet we want everybody to understand, and we sure want people to come to the meeting,
yes,
to the public hearing.
So we'll coordinate that with Conrad's office, and then we'll reach out to all of the commissioners in the clerk's office for availability.
Okay.
That should be at least a half a page ad.
It should.
That it would be highlighted.
Now, we have running out in the paper for 4 weeks about this public hearing. So, and then... I mean, maybe I can talk to the paper about making sure that, you know, they publish when the workshop will be held. Would that be sufficient?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping that Aaron will, you know, just do not an editorial, but just do an article.
And then, of course, we would send out an agenda.
Maybe he has a question. Tell him to call me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, thank you for... Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say aye. Motion carries. Okay, now we can go into our strategic planning session. Everybody has an agenda. Okay, this is for the next item. I just want to say to the board, I just really appreciate everybody being so cooperative and willing to come through. This is the third one of these we've had, and they've been quite lengthy. And I just think it's just so good that the board is willing to spend time to discuss these important matters. You know, this is not something that we do all the time, but I just want to tell you all thank you for participating. And staff, I thank you all for all the time that you put into getting all the data together for these meetings. That's been most helpful.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Number one, contractor citizens incinerator policy. Who's going to speak?
Well, I can lead off, and then I would ask Gary to come speak with us at the December training session. There was discussion of starting the practice of allowing contractors and or citizens to utilize the incinerator that we have at our property. And
it sounds very, very good in theory, but of course, as we are working through the process, we have some questions and we'd like some clarification, and we also have done some research. And so we just want to revisit this with the board and get some direction and let you know, where we stand as far as our research. This is new to us. And I know I've received, and I know Gary has received several calls from contractors wanting to utilize this service. So some of the information that we have for you, if you will pay special attention to the item number 3, which is general information, we just want the board to be aware that we run our incinerator every day, and that we, you know, burn debris pretty much on a daily basis, I would say, unless we have
clean out or something like
that. Right. But it's standard practice for us to utilize the incinerator. So we do have some trepidation, I would say, because this is new for us. We have absolutely no idea what to expect as far as what contractors will bring us. So it's been a little worrisome as far as just planning for this. Not that we're unwilling to, but we may have to start off in one direction and then may have to come back and say, okay, well, this isn't working. I don't know, I don't know what to expect.
Can I ask you a question? Are the people that have called y'all, the contractors, have they told you to give you an idea of what they'll be bringing? Why don't you ask them then?
I have asked them a little bit, and they basically just say it just depends on the calls they get, you know, as far as their workload. They may work 7 days a week, I don't know.
Well,
it
should be,
this is
mainly anything about it. Being a contractor, none is good, so I'm ignorant to that, but I would think that if I was a contractor, I'd have some idea of some of the stuff in the past. They're talking about we've had to take stuff to the manual. So what are some of those things?
They've got that. What I'm looking at is contractors that we don't know about. If we got 4 contractors in town and 20 show up,
would it be prudent to contact them and say, this is what we're thinking, is this something that you would utilize, and if so, what would you think you would be bringing?
And that's a good idea, and like I say, I'm talking to guys that are, if you're talking contractors in general, it could be, you see them all over the city, county, cleaning debris and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some of them probably don't even have business license and stuff like that. They just, you know, that's what they do for a living.
They bring it to our dump site.
That's it.
They go clean the yard up. Yeah. They bring it to our dump site and put it in the dumpster.
And if you look at our volume, 35 truckloads a month, 40 yards is what we're hauling right now, average.
That's your burn site right now.
And that's yard debris.
That's from the roll-off site. That's yard debris.
So we don't know. And it's difficult to determine if someone comes in and they have a card and they're in their personal vehicle. We don't know if they're really a con. It's always their debris that they bring in.
Mm-hmm. Tell me the problem with that.
Well,
if they bring, let's say they bring in multiple, let's say 10 loads a day.
Mm-hmm. I mean a load a day.
10, let's say.
Okay. And we have people that are of all sizes that are really common. They just do this for a living. Mm-hmm. And they bring them multiple loads a day at Harrison Blue. And I can name who's doing it. Mm-hmm. But they have a card.
They
have a card and they're not. Now, the way a contractor pull in sometimes, we have this, he'll have stickers on his door and everything, so we know he's a contractor. We had that come up last week.
Right.
And
right.
We flagged him and said he can't do that, you know.
So the concern is if we do set up, when we do set up this process, but then we have citizens. I just want to make sure we understand the direction of the board. Is it only contractors who are willing to step up and say, yes, we're contractors and we'll be bringing this amount into the incinerator? Or is our intent to stop vegetative debris at our roll-off sites, because that's really wasn't the original, I don't think that's classified as.
Well, I think $48 a ton here, thus the county charges to eliminate that. I can haul my yard debris.
And I think that's why.
Blue for nothing. Why am I going to take it out here to the incinerator and pay $48 a ton? I have to protect here itself.
And I think that's why it's there. I think that pricing they did there is to deter.
Is to deter. And, I got the floor if I can educate everybody here.
You can, and then after that, Jim.
Well, Jim, you go first.
What I see is we're getting trailer load after trailer load at my site on Dalton Cemetery Road. And it comes out of yards and uptown here and around the county. And they bring them up there and they fill up that dumpster completely, some of them. They'll make three or four loads in a day time. And they're not just they got a quarter or a sticker. They got free will to do it as many times. I mean, nobody's going to go to count the time. The attendance is not going to count them. No way of weighing it. And originally, the dump site was set up for household garbage.
That's what I understand.
That's what I understand originally. I wasn't there at the time it started, but that's what, you know, what I've heard. And we're taking way more than the household garbage. I mean, you know, we're taking a lot more. And you know the tonnage that comes to you. Yeah. It would be aggravating for a lot of people to have to haul it all the way to the roll-off site down there, I mean, to the incinerator, but it would solve a lot of issues at our dump sites and a lot of upkeep and a lot of hauling. It saves a lot of money in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
And how would you weigh a load like a man had a pickup truck load of lamb?
I do about a cubic yard, and they're just broke down there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy. You go by, you know, length, width, and depth, and just about 27.
You know, if you cut this time of year, everybody trimming up everything, get ready for the spring, and trimming yard work, and there'll be a lot of truckloads go to the dump right now. Yeah. I see it all the time. And after a hurricane or a storm comes through, there's a lot of limbs and fills up every dumpster at my site.
The other day, the truck driver called me. He had a full load, dropped an empty can, and by the time he ran out and dumped it, came back to the school again.
Right.
That was a Carl that was Jim's son.
Right. So to answer your question a while ago about the contractors, I talked to three of the local contractors, and they were fine with cutting it up less than 4 foot. They said it would make a little aggravating, but they would cut it up in 4 foot lengths and would love to have a place to carry. They're all about places here. And they don't, the speed is, they just add that to their work. And when they charge somebody for cutting a tree down, they'll just add $48 or $38, whatever it is, right into the fee. So it's no big issue. But the issue is going to be distinguishing between a contractor and a homeowner. Or a fellow that's just moonlighting and all the loads of limbs. You know, for people.
And it's going to come out of the city, and you know, it's just, that's just
normal. Yeah. But you don't know where these contractors are getting this from. That can keep coming out of the city.
Right. And the reason, if you look at the live oak rates, the reason we looked at these, because they have scales there that can weigh these, and they gave me an average how many tons per, you know, 30-yard container, so we could break it down. And that's one of the reasons. Live oak, I think, is more in line than anything we're looking at that I've been able to find. On that, as far as pricing.
Well, actually, the allotable rate, by the time you pay the tipping fee, it also, mm-hmm. and your mileage, the allotable rate, if we charge that, would be less than what you pay from lift off.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to cost you that, you know, cost you $2 a mile to run that vehicle.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, I've done a little research. There's a lot that's helped me with this. Gary mentioned that you have to cool down the burner at 1 o'clock.
2:30.
At 2:30. Mm-hmm. Because you got to let it kind of die down, too. Well, I thought, just me thinking, why do you have to cool it down? I thought the air burner was where you could burn that thing and let it didn't burn all night. And I talked to the expert on solid waste, Mr. Durali. And he said, you can do a burner up to it and burn it all night. It ain't going to spark, so I'm not going to catch anything on fire. Well, he backtracked when LaWanda talked to him and said, you all don't have that type of burner.
Right.
We got the top burner that sits out here and it's open at the top. And you gotta let that fire die down, because sparks do come out of the top when you set the woods on fire. So that wouldn't work. And we don't, well, we don't, I don't think we need to buy another burner. Use the one we got as efficiently as we can. And from what I'm hearing, we already have enough debris to stay busy. And I'll discuss, I think, a little bit with Gary and maybe with LaVonda. Is it legal for us to allow these contractors just to dump it on some of that old, usually property we got way out in the back, like the city does? And if they stay there until it rusts, or if we get caught up with an emergency of it. Don't know whether that's Gary wants to move with that idea or not.
Well, I did look at the permit that we issued, and in the permit it says we have to turn that wood every 18 months.
So you can't stack it up.
I read farther into it.
Yeah. I'm trying my best to figure and wiggle out a way that we can accommodate a promise we sort of made to these contractors. And one idea that's crossed my mind, probably yours too, is we could do it on a trial basis and limit it. And we could have a pre-approval process. It's so that if you are indeed a contractor, you come down here and show your contractor's license and whatever, and we can eliminate the, we know of four and we're here to meet them.
Yeah.
There may be 10 if you show up with your credentials. And however we set this up, we can limit you to do some research and see if, one load a day or one load a week or whatever. I just hate for us to tell folks we're going to try to help you out on this and then just say no. We want to figure out a way to make this work. It is my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want to lose money on this because I've already been cautioned by one of my constituents, actually one of my constituents. He said, what was y'all doing in this board meeting the other day? I saw all those four contractors walking up there high-fiving each other. And I told him what we discussed. He said, my word of caution is, I'm all right with it, but they don't need to cost the county anything. Either it'll be a break even or you want to make some money on it.
That's
so
right.
Be careful. So.
But I would say to that we're using the honor system with contractors. And so these four contractors have come forward and identified themselves as contractors and are willing to pay the additional cost. What concerns me is people who are not forthcoming and are loading up our roll-off and not paying additional for that. And I don't know that that's something that we can solve today, but I'm just, that's something I feel like we need to keep on our radar because it's very difficult to police vegetative debris out of roll-off sites.
Let me ask you something. How much do scales cost?
I've looked at them, and honestly, I thought they were really super expensive, and it is expensive, but if I was guessing, the last one I looked at, I spent a couple of years ago, I think it was in the $60,000 or $50,000 range on it. That's cheap. What I thought was 150 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, also I just bought a new scale.
It is.
Now, we already had the
slam.
The slam and all that. We just had to put the scale. Yeah, I would like it. I want to say $25,000-$30,000. That's just a platform that fits in the container. So I would imagine 60 is probably about right. Now, what are we going to accomplish with a scale that we don't have with a cubic yard?
We'd probably be okay with a cubic yard. It's not a science exactly on this cubic yard, but we can narrow it down. The key is when you're dealing with a scale and a 40-yard container pulls in, it's hard to gauge the weight as far as the limbs. Could it be all 12-inch, 4-foot, or could it be branches and everything else? So we had to take an average. That's why I had Live Oak. They had a scale there. And I said, well, what do you think? He says, an average container, 30-yard container, weighs 3 ton. It may be 4 ton one day and 2.5 the other.
Yeah.
He says, but the average is 3 ton.
If you put all solid 12-inch wood in there, you really...
It's just like if you did a, you know, yard, I mean, a household debris, they could throw styrofoam insulation, and then they could throw major, you know, couch or chair, you know, whatever in there.
Yeah.
The weight just fluctuates so much. Scale just gives you opportunity to monitor it closer.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, in terms of a rollage, but that's not feasible, you know, because we've got so many rollages. But if you...
The roll-off, we can do it like you guys used 2 years ago. They get about a trailer load and all that, just at a flat fee on it.
And it paid you.
And that's the other option, too. We've got 2 or 3 options in terms of roll-offs. If we... The scale seems like that's not an option because of the cost to put it in. But I'm just wondering, I hate to say this, but I'm just thinking outside the box for the newspaper and the public. But if you charge by the trailer load or whatever to whoever brings it,
absolutely. And what you
whether get, it's a contractor, because you can't prove who's a contractor and who's not, right. Sometimes.
And that way it eliminates the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that would work, because like I said,
and what you could
they're not going to come out of it.
Right. What you can do, and a lot of people quit bringing it once they get charged, and it deters that. But what you could do is like have a ticket book, roughly, at the roll-off site. They come in, and we already got the sizes. They just click the box, the size they brought in, you know, check the box, get their license and tag, and give it to the person. And they go to Anime and just pay them directly at the courthouse or send a check in. And that would be the easiest way to monitor
it. Now,
I'm going to
be Anime for
a few minutes. Yeah.
That's a lot of work, and a lot of people have to do all that stuff.
I think when you start doing that, a lot of people probably do like I do. I burn mine in the yard. I call the department, and I said, hey, I accumulated, and I light it up. I'm not going to double handle my yard debris.
I'm not either. I'm not in the yard or the farm.
But I think if we're getting a lot of vegetation that, you know, that we shouldn't be getting that.
Well, not just vegetation. This is a whole different subject, but we have difficulty with the C&D as well.
What's C&D?
That's construction.
Concrete blocks.
I didn't kill my man. That's why your killer fees are high.
Right. You know, because people feel like if they do a shed clean out, that because they pay that assessment, they should be able to bring that to the roll-off site. And I understand that. But when it comes to tearing houses down and things like that, they bring it in one trailer at a time.
And they make them multiple sides too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that is, I think, part of the reason we run out of operational money every year. And I'm so worried about doing anything to increase expenses, anything, because I know historically we do not have enough funding to get through the year because of our, you know, our tipping fees. And so I hesitate to increase roll-off site hours because I kind of know in my heart we're probably going to need money.
That's right. And, you know, I was sitting here going to get to that, but we already know from history that we have our expenses has exceeded our revenue. So we've got a problem in any business, I don't care what business it is, if their expenses exceed their revenue, they have to do something. They either go out of business or they have to hike their prices a little bit.
Right.
And we may get to the point that we have to reevaluate that. And like Commissioner Moody said a while ago, in the beginning, his understanding was it was for household garbage. That means, you know, stuff you collect in your kitchen. But when it comes to C&D or yard debris, we might need to categorize that and see where we need to be.
Can I make a suggestion?
Please.
Dixie County is a member of the Austin Landfill. They don't haul any C&D to the landfill because they have their own little C&D cell. They call it cell. And I may be wrong, but I don't think that
and you have to put a liner in the bottom of a C and D cell. I checked that out. But Dixie County has a place. And what they do with the C and D, they pile it up. You just make a mound, and then they're, I don't know if they got a burn permit to burn the limbs, but there is a way you can get around have a haul also create your own C and D cell, which would be beneficial to also. But we don't, we're not really getting a C and D business up there. We're in the also garbage business, mainly. You gotta think about it. If you say nobody can bring you C and D to the roll-off sites, well, where are you gonna put it? You can haul it in the woods.
Well, I'm thinking my thought is Madison and Live Oak and all them, they don't take C and D and a lot of limb debris and all that. But if we set it up like we did with the yard debris and charge them for the loads and still haul it for them, but at least get the revenue to cover the expense, I think we're ahead.
That's where we need to go with it.
Because your assessment was set up, like they said, for household garbage in, and it's still in the ordinance, ain't it?
We can increase, or the board can increase it.
But isn't there the ordinance for trailers and...
Yes, sir.
It's still in there.
It just not taken out for some reason.
It's not taken out. It's still in the ordinance. The truck loads and all that for charging. It's still in there.
I'd like to see.
Yeah, let's see.
To see that. We've got a lot. We need to...
And there's some opportunity there, I think, to save the county some money if we structure it right. When I say that, structure for the person coming in and Annie Mae or whoever, you know, figure this thing out, I think there's some money savings that we could do that on the solid waste side. And the key to it is, like, say every year we're short of money in solid waste on tip. Since 2001, you've been short.
Yeah, and see, I don't know the answer, but I do know the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is,
Absolutely. Basically,
we're not making ends meet. That's what we're saying.
Providing more services.
And we have to do something, because we cannot continue to operate the way we have. And, you know, I'm the first one to say I don't want to charge people any more than, you know, but there comes a time that somebody's going to be charged, because if we keep having more expenses than revenue, either it's going to end up one day where ad valorem taxes or something, somehow or another, we're going to have to make up for it.
Right. I studied a little bit on household trash. The household generates between 4 to 5 tons, and that would equate to a couple $100 that I'll sell it. Well, what happens is when you get the person pays assessment, they got the pass, they come in, and they hit multiple sites, and they drop in a year's time, tearing down buildings and stuff like that, 12, 14 tons. They have just basically elevated everything at that point. Yeah.
I would like to see us, you know, spend a lot of time talking about this, but I'd like to see an in-depth study with some real figures, real facts and figures. Everything that you thought about, even if it, whatever's outside the box, whatever. And present it to us, and you know, with hard, fast numbers
of
what we need to do, where we've been, and that way the public, we can understand it, the public can understand it, and we can make the best decisions for our county.
And what you can look at, base it off of, all the surrounding counties like Madison, Live Oak, and all them, they don't take a lot of C&D and everything. Now, I know for a fact it's hard to get from Steen Hatch to Clary Greenville for anybody to haul. And we want to do a service for them, but we shouldn't have to pay for the cost of county money for them.
If Cross City, you said Dixie County has C&D?
Dixie County has C&D.
Can you work out something with them?
Will you check with Dixie County and Frank the Robbie and see how they set that up? What do they do with it other than just buy that up?
Yeah,
and also, we got the
CD. I've got a lot of material I can bring to you guys to look at and give you guys a general idea what we're looking at.
Can I just, for me, I like an outline thing that's easy. I don't have to read 10 pages.
We got the tonnage and all that to show exactly. And it's, we can break it down pretty close on what we're, you know, eliminating household rent, you know, trash versus CD.
And if we could work somehow or another with Dixie County, it wouldn't hurt to confer with them and just see.
Okay.
We need to go ahead and discuss this business with our contractor that we contractor and get that ball rolling.
Yes, I didn't want to hijack that or stall that.
And
contact as many contractors that's licensed that you can, and just, you know, just get a feel from them. Would they use it? What would they be bringing in? How often?
I got a pretty good feel from them. They are ready to start. And they will agree with the 4 foot length. And I told three of them straight out, I said, there can't be one tree to do before we're in the lake. It's got to be all yard debris, tree, you know, it's got to be limbs. It can't be one paint bucket. We're going to turn the whole load around and y'all will have to deal with it.
So everyone understands, I spoke with contract about what we would need to move this forward, because we have an existing solid waste ordinance. And he feels like we need a separate ordinance for this. So we're not trying to slow the process down, but we'll have to do that anyway. So I would think we can work with contract, we can kind of nail down a cost, work with Conrad, have a draft ordinance brought back before the board, and that will get, you know, that will continue to move the process forward.
Okay, so we got two things going on. We've got this, and then we've got all the other that we just spent a long time talking
about. Well, I apologize.
That's okay. We got all that.
Well, I feel like that every time we talk about solid waste, we have to take into consideration our current state and what's happening in our operating budget. And, you know, obviously we need new trucks. We'll bring that back to the board. But even the revenue that we set aside for the vehicle purchase, that did not come from solid waste funds. That's 1 cent funds. So we're not supporting, in my opinion, we either need to find a way to operate more efficiently or increase revenue to that department. So I'll probably, you know, say that every time we talk about solid waste.
We've got a lot of issues with solid waste that all of us need to be involved with, you know, whether we're going to lease the trucks or not, and what we're going to do with the roll-offs, with all the yard trash and stuff that it's a problem, and then with this incinerator stuff. So, you know, we've got a lot of things, but I'd like to, as quickly as we can, address all these things, and let's get them cleaned up and fixed and move on to the next issue.
So as far as pricing, do y'all have an opinion about where we need to go with the pricing so we can move forward as far as the creation of the ordinance? Or do you want us to work on that, you know, within our department and then communicate that within the ordinance?
I wish you'd get ahead with the ordinance and get going on that contractor. That's doing it a bit.
I know.
All right. On price, if you haul in the limbs to also, the tipping fee is 32 plus 7, which is 39. Now, I'm not for setting a number less than $39.
Okay.
In fact,
A little more.
The 48 to me is not unreasonable, because that tipping fee you haul it also, you pay a lot.
Okay.
And then you got something to base it on. This is what another county does.
Right.
And you get more numbers, but I don't lose money on this deal.
That's where I'm at. We don't want to lose
money. And if we start paying it, and Gary said, you got 15 months. If he has a pile load over there, he's got 15 months to get burned. I don't know if I'm going to go down and shine the flashlight and see what. But we may have wind up out of this deal having to spend some of that landfill closure money that's in the bank to buy another $200,000 incinerator. I think we can do that. That's where the parking lot came from. But if we do have to buy another one to accommodate this need, then let's buy the one that you can burn all out.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I'm
all for that. Yeah, that's what we need.
Then the contractor we're talking about, I heard say there's 4 contractors in town.
That's before the end of the meeting, right?
Yeah, that's before the end of the meeting.
There's about 6 in town
that we know
that I see trucks.
That we know.
And bucket trucks, there's about 6.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. We are talking about an unincorporated area. I see these Burdine's trucks in here now cutting for Tri-County and Duke Energy. Where are they can't hit it, Bert?
I have no clue. They've never approached me at all.
They leave a lot of it right there.
Right. A lot of it is small enough, they get by with it, they just run over with more of these. It's bad about that.
Well, that might be why we want to consider limiting the amount so that we don't get into a situation where we just can't handle all of the debris.
That's true, but the volume scares me a little bit.
I'm not limiting.
Right. Okay, but now, I hear we're talking about yard debris. What about these trees that's being cut down like this? How do you get that to?
We don't take that.
If it's bigger than 12 inches,
we don't take it. The reason is, it's
bigger than 12 inches around or 12 inches long?
12 inches around.
Right.
The reason is, the tractor we got out of the Kubota that we run with, the wrap on the front, it's not designed for anything heavy duty at that level. And plus, the incinerator's got, they have the walls in there. If you drop a huge log in there, you could damage the incinerator. But also, if you put a huge log in there first thing in the morning and try to burn through that, it'll still be burning by the afternoon. You can't put the large log in there and have
the
that.
The large log don't pop until it.
So they would have to cut that tree down into smaller pieces if they want to utilize the incinerator.
What is the weight capacity on that incinerator? How much can you put in there?
Well, it depends on what you're burning. What you try to do, we try to let it dry out where it burns faster, but if you put green on there, the whole thing's designed to not smoke. And when you turn that diesel on, it generates a curtain in there, it's turning the whole time. It just depends on the type of material you're burning. You can probably, they say you can burn up, the permit says you can burn up, or the machine says you can burn probably 6 tons of hour.
Okay.
I don't know if that's really real or not because we can't weigh or anything, but it just depends on the debris that you're working with.
Okay.
Okay, another thing. What about how many yards does that thing hold? If it's empty and you've got to fill it up.
It's probably a 30 yarder.
You put 30 yards of debris in there and drive it?
None at a time. What you do is you get that fire going and you feed that fire. You don't want the flames higher than the container.
And the Kubota drops it over into its top.
We keep feeding steady, steady, and then once you get it to a point where the flames are just shooting out of there, and I think
shooting out over the top, you better slow down.
Slow down. Plus, you can't get too close to the flames with the tractor. If it's burning up, you'll burn them holes.
You'll burn the operator up. If six contractors can keep it busy, that you'd be out there every day and all day?
We're out there every day.
We're there anyway.
We're there 40 hours a week right now.
40 hours a week.
Trying to stay up with the
roll. And when it get that green, y'all attract the green most times.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go to the incinerator right there, you get it to the side.
And we got enough volume, we just push it to the side and it'll sit there maybe a month and a half.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Or a year.
Okay. Yeah. It could be there a while.
Depends on how many hurricanes we have.
Well, why can't we use it as a money-making matter? Let come who come and just charge them for bringing it out there.
And that would
eliminate getting it down to...
We trawled and sent it. Here's a good example. When the hurricane was going on, we opened up the doors for the contractors to bring their debris out there.
Yeah.
You know, because they were hauling, and we had maybe 5 loads the whole time people showed up out there. That was it. 5 or 8 loads. That was it.
They're dumping it somewhere.
But
as our population increases, I mean, we're going to see a volume increase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think you're on the right direction. If you look at charging at the roll-off sites and look at contractors and see what kind of volume they're going to generate out there, And if we can stay ahead of the curve, it's a good opportunity.
Well, if you charge at the wall site, you're going to have to charge everybody.
That's it.
Contractor or not, you don't know.
Right.
But back to what you said, if you open up the incinerator area for anybody right now, as it stands, I can't see where anybody would go and spend $48 a ton when they can take it right down to Carlton or
that's the problem, right?
Brown or Johnson or wherever else. But
Well, I know if, you know, all the city residents, if they use it, you know, you can really charge.
You could.
Yeah.
And that's why, if you charge everybody like the CNBN, it eliminates the city, everybody. Nobody gets in free, you know, a free car to get in there and dump. You've cleaned all that up. All you're getting is household trash with a permit.
Yeah, even if you did, for instance, I hate to say this, but if the city used it,
that's right,
would you be able to accommodate that? But what would it cost us to accommodate that?
Well, if you look at charging, let's say, because they're doing it probably now, a lot of them, because we're increasing.
Not like it could be.
Right. Our population hasn't increased that much, and we're going up 10% a year, I think. So where's that coming from? And if we're not generating any more countywide, so there's. But what I'm looking at, what you got to think about, if we charge for everything coming in except household trash, and if the city did bring, not household trash, but C&D, we would at least be making revenue off what we could control. We can't control it right now. If they have a card, let's say the brother gave him a card, he's in the county, gives it to a city member, they're still dumping on us. We're still getting city.
But if we opened it up, and everybody knew that, then just make sure that we can accommodate that extra stuff that we have the means to haul all of that and to really take care of it.
Let's say the revenue that you generated, let's say, by doing this, $250,000 a year or more. If worst case is we could put on another truck driver or something like that, you see what I'm saying? And accommodate that. Right now we're in the negative column. If we brought that up to the positive, you know, plus, we would be ahead of the game. I think doing nothing right now ain't working.
No.
Right. Now, make a comment. Commissioner Dills mentioned that we ought to make this thing a profit-making facility. Open it up to everybody for limbs and yard trash. So if I'm thinking out of the box, as Pam says, if you say you've got to take your limbs and your garbage out to the roll-off site, and the fee's going to be whatever we set, anybody can bring them. Well, what we're going to run into is we may have to add a second incinerator on down the line. And we're certainly going to have to buy a set of scales. So if you bought seven scales and you bought another incinerator as the need arose, then the volume, you'd eliminate all the limbs at your roll-off site. You can actually burn a little down there, can't you, Gary?
They can't.
So they'd have to haul it.
We would. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was just thinking out of the box.
Right.
Charge everybody for the limbs. That's better than charging the contractors at the incinerator with the limbs. And then have to tell all your citizens, you can't carry it to your old off site and not have anywhere where to carry it.
Right.
I'm just thinking that. What do you think about that?
I think everybody bringing a truckload of limbs up to the dump site needs to pay something.
Yeah.
All right. I mean,
then we can haul it out there.
Or if you quit accepting it at the roll off and have everybody to go out there. I wonder how that would work.
I would rather the major contractors go to the landfill site.
And the small yard man, they're done at the site.
That's exactly right.
That's my view.
That's
exactly. There's only one thing, though. You're going to end up with contaminated.
We are, and we're going to have to monitor that at the roll off sites tighter when they come in. We got to be on the hill when they come.
You got somebody got to be with them. Yeah. They got to walk up there, and if they got to break the limbs, and they got one pretty deep.
You don't dump until we get time to get up here and watch you. And if it's got a can in it, don't send a contaminated load up.
That's it.
I think I prefer that too, Jim.
That's
it. Then carry limbs, because it's going to be less complaints from the citizens.
That would be the fair.
All you're going to have to do, you're going to have to get a complaint that now you're charging me for my limbs. Well, that was initially we charged you for the limbs. We quit. Now, which one would I do? Charge you for the limbs or increase the $140 on them?
Well, it would be, I mean, I don't know how many people take limbs to the roll-up site.
A bunch.
A lot of them. So now keep in mind that if we're charging every citizen at the roll-up site, that's a lot of bookkeeping to do. You know, because we don't take cash at a roll-up site.
So we'll just start taking cash again.
There was a reason.
Attendants were tired because they had to argue with the citizen. Because we didn't have a scale, and there would be an argument about whether this truck's got 4 yards on it or two.
Right. And you've got to have a system, of tickets or something. You've got 1 through 100, and that way you keep everybody honest. Commissioner Murphy?
Well, I was agreeing with Congressman Jim Moody about having non-commercial dump off at the roll-off sites and charging a fee for non-commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And having your commercial effort going directly to the incinerator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, that really means you're not a stretch.
Yeah.
Because they're small contractors who mm-hmm. cannot, it's not feasible for them to drive way out there. They just can't do it. So if we can allow citizens that don't have the roll-off sites charge whatever fee is practical, and then have the commercial effort go to directly. Because
yeah.
that would keep the commercial flow out of the roll-off sites.
Yes.
We won't have such a grand volume of roll-off sites.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're buying into that theory. Mm-hmm. We just got all the nuts and bolts now to work out how you weigh it, how you pay for it.
We need that math projection to show us what direction we need to go.
That's right.
Baker County's going to grow. And you're going to have more and more of it. It's not going to end just because it's not going to stay the same money. It's just going to get more and more. And I mean, I can see that coming. There's a lot of people moving to the county don't realize it because they don't have a census every now and then, but there's more people here than there were.
Gary, bring us some good numbers.
Bring some numbers.
I've been doing this for a long time. I will bring you some good numbers.
Now, I think what the census is, without reading the tea leaves here, is we're going to take, it's still accept debris at the roll-off sites. It's hard to call. And then these commercial tree trimmers, we're going to figure out a way to let them take it out. Yeah. And if we go down the line, have to buy one set of scales or whatever, another incinerator, we've got some money in that account. But let's don't spend that until we have to.
Now, do you want this in two steps, or do you want to do all this at one time?
But I like your thinking there, because, you know, part of our responsibility and part of what we're doing here is thinking into the future.
Yeah,
and I like that, you know, it may come to the point that we may have to buy another incinerator and buy
or trade this one in on that you can operate, and you can fill it up all the way to the man to use it and burn all night. Yeah. Be safe.
Yep. So I think we've got some good things going on here. We're just waiting for some good numbers.
I got some good numbers.
We're spending on y'all. Thank you.
I appreciate all your work, Gary.
Thanks, man.
And Lamont, I appreciate your work on this too. Okay. Okay. Roadway mowing, trash pickup. I just have, and I know y'all do too, have calls all the time. And plus, you know, as we ride down the road, I ride down the beach road, I ride down Johnson Street, I ride down Green Street, out San Pedro, wherever you go, there's trash all on the highway. And it makes our community look bad. Now, we need more people to pick up trash, but we just got to figure out how we can pay for it. So, I don't know. I guess it's, and this has been brought up a thousand times, mm-hmm. I guess it's off the table to get any kind of community service people picking up trash.
I don't. We have not determined a way to make that work because of the associated liability. Mm-hmm.
We've just pushed that can, as Moody says, down the road now for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. I just think we need to give up on that idea.
which Leon County does.
Would you, I would like to ask, can we do this? And what exactly does it take to, you know, work with the judge? And if it involves workman's comp, or just what all it involves, if that doesn't work, which it probably won't, but you know, then what else can we do? How can we generate revenue to are there any other options with the jail or with the prison system or anybody that can help?
Well, we could hire an additional inmate squad. And as you all know, we've gone from two paid squads and two free squads to two paid squads. We haven't seen our free squad in probably over a year anyway. So I think it's become apparent that that's not an option. We did try to work with the sheriff's office last year to pay for a correctional officer for maybe right-of-way pickup and things like that. But at that time, from my recollection, he did not have staffing available. And that was, I believe, the cost was around $69,000. So it's a challenge to try to find a solution that doesn't increase operations or operational costs.
Operations, I don't know where the money would come from. I mean, I know there's not a magic anything, and money's not growing on trees. And, mm-hmm. and maybe we can't. Maybe the citizens, and we have to understand that we're going to have a trashy
account.
You know, at least talk to the sheriff, talk to the warden, especially about where this crew, what's the status of this, and talk to the judge and to see if there's anything, and if there's not, we're probably dead in the water.
I've spoken with the judge, and he has assured me that he has, you know, he can assign community service hours for something like this. Our issue is supervising.
Then you're talking about an annual expenditure of what?
Oh, it would be a staff person. So by the time we, no, ma'am, I don't believe so.
No, if you do community service people, I don't think we'd have enough that you would operate more than one or two days a week. Probably on Saturdays, Sundays.
And that's the issue we got into before. So by the time we hire an employee to supervise these crews, it seems like it would be less expensive to hire a DOC crew, which is about $55,000 a year.
If we can get them to do it, that would probably be the easiest way out.
Yeah.
Then you have one of their folks.
Now, and that would be, 4 days a week.
If I remember, the sheriff was reluctant back before we got the scanner to have a lot of folks out on the streets.
Yes, sir.
But now he's got a way to control the contraband coming into the jail. He might be a little more receptive.
Well, I believe the issue with the sheriff's...
The cost of the supervisor.
Correct. But that would be, from my recollection, the cost we were given for that was more than the DOC squad cost.
Oh. Okay.
By at least $10,000 a year. Now, the question before was whether or not we could use gas tax funds for that, but what concerns me with that is that we are struggling in that fund, in the road and bridge fund.
Well, let me throw this idea out. If we say we're going to have community service picking up trash every Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and the judge says you've got to go do community service and you all pay $20 a head, and then you could hire
mm-hmm.
correctional person or a deputy sheriff, part-time, maybe time and a half, or whatever he charges, $150, $200 on Saturday.
Okay.
And it would almost pay for itself.
And check with Leon County and
see how they do it.
The people that do the road pickup for community service, mm-hmm. how much do they have to pay each day? Because it may be more than $20 a day. But that's what I was going to say too, Malcolm, is let the judge, they got to pay for it and go do it.
Right.
But you know, they say there's not enough. If you look at the book and text the book, that's still a lot of time.
I don't, that wasn't the direction I received from the judge, but I believe another part to that challenge is our workers' comp insurance.
Well, find out what the cost is.
I will.
And, you know, and I'm sure we probably got to have it in case one of them gets run over out there.
And what about equipment and vehicles? We can just use what we have now?
I would think so. Okay. Right.
I'd like to know, before we just drop this and forget about it, I'd like to work it till we can't work it no more.
My talk with that, though, we used to have probation people. They have something to do with community service. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
a bunch of them
down there.
Yeah, it was my understanding that they're on county probation and they're following the county's workers' comp and liability insurance.
Right.
And if they're on circuit probation, the state probation, then they fall under the state.
Right.
It depends on what probation they're on.
Uh-huh. Right.
As to who they follow.
Right. And I believe the reason that we have been hesitant to go down that road was mainly driven by our insurance carrier, who I think came and spoke to the board last year.
Yeah, we talked about it before.
And it was not, he didn't encourage us to do that. Because of the
someone gets hurt, you got trash, and you got workers' comp.
Exactly. And so that affects our workers' comp rates. And
but you know, we have a risk with everybody that goes out that works for the county and does things. I mean, we can't always let all of this
I understand.
Away. We're at risk with everything. Somebody could stumble over in one of our parks, or I mean, we're always at risk.
Miami-Dade County used to make them sign waivers before they went out.
So hold on.
Does that work anything?
It's been operation for many years down there.
That's
an idea
if it works.
The whole
house. You're on probation.
Yeah,
why can't
we
do a
whole
promise? Good idea,
Commissioner.
So,
we will.
Yeah.
Any other ideas?
Yeah.
Any other ideas?
You know, it looked like to me that if he out there on probation and he don't want to go to jail, he don't want to stay to go to prison, that is a easy out. You know, if he works 5 days a week and he get his pay, you need to compensate somebody for what he's done already.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deterrent for going back.
Uh-huh.
If he just should have been in jail, you know.
It's costing us money.
Yeah, and talking about he can't, it's going to cost us to let him get out. Oh, no. You know, after a while, you know, with this medicinal marijuana we got going on right now, mm-hmm. You know, everybody let him go. He'll be out there staggering all over the place. You go get big.
Yeah.
You know, just like liquor and the probation. Hey.
Your stuff is out of hand. And pretty soon they would walk around anywhere smoking it legally.
Yeah.
Once we get to a level where we can warrant opening up a division dedicated to that.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, we may need to look into that as well.
And that's right.
You have a division for your roll off. You have
some
different workers in the county have a dedicated division just for that.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the money to warrant.
Right, and that's what I said. If we could hire a crew and just have a roadside park cleanup crew, that would be great. We don't have the revenue for that. But mm-hmm. I would love to be able to do that. And I'll have to. But I still think the offenders, that's a good way for them. That's a good way to go, in my opinion. Okay.
One more comment, we'll leave this alone.
Okay.
From reading reports we get from East Coast County Prohibition people, a lot of those people that are assigned community service actually pay out of their pocket and eliminate the community service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what rate they charge them, but I've seen that in the paperwork I've read.
$10 an hour.
It's $10 an hour. Now, which would you do if you was on probation? Would you pick up trash all day, or would you pay $10 an hour not to pick up the trash? So you might not have a lot of takers. Did the circuit probation allow you to buy that back, or you got to serve it?
I think they can probably buy it back, too.
They can buy it back, too. Our easiest way out is to try to get another prison squad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind talking to Senator Mumford about seeing if he can help us get another free squad or whoever it takes. But
as far as spending another $60,000 in size money years.
I know.
It would be well spent, but there's higher priorities for the trash people.
The last time I spoke with the warden for our local DOC, he told me if I would bring him 50 employees, that he would give us 2 free squads back. That's how, that's the issue, that
they don't
having,
have,
they don't have the employees, the staffing.
Well, I mean, you know, what we've done today is we've looked at every avenue to try to help the situation. We don't have revenue to do anything. So we've been trying to reach out and see if there's a more economical way to do it that we could possibly afford. But, I mean, I'm like you, I don't want to incur, I will not incur another expense for something like this when we've got other things that take priority. But this is a problem,
yeah.
And if we can figure it out, that would be good. If we don't, then we've done our part. We've tried to fix it.
And I will say that every time I contact the jail and ask for a squad to pick up trash, they have someone out there within the, you know, within days.
Let's use that.
So we have, but I have to, you know.
Initiate.
I have to initiate it.
Okay. Well, what do you got to do? Make a phone call?
If someone will just text me, email me, whatever, I will send it to the jail, and they typically have, they're very responsive.
Good. Well, Highway 221 and Shiloh Cemetery Road, the person that...
Well, we can't, you know, Highway 221.
Please call DOT.
I will.
Judy Whitworth, Springer, and Shiloh Cemetery Road.
Did you ever ride up this road lately? The guy's garbage cans turned over in the middle of the road. It's on my side. How does it? Is that a waste pro pick that stuff up?
I don't know.
I'm
well, what would you ask the sheriff to ride up this road? There was 2 large city type or waste pro garbage cans the other day that turned over there, and the animals were scattering that stuff. I don't know if it's still there or not. Just before you get to the railroad track. On Pisgah Road. Go 221,
yeah.
You turn left on Pisgah, and it'll be about, what, a quarter of a mile. And there's a house there that has 2 big old garbage containers out by the street, as if they get Waste Pro pickup. Both those were full, run over, and they turned over, and were just all over the place. I was hoping to blow their pants just.
I was in the color charge.
Yeah, right. She got moved out of that house for 1 day.
Oh, okay. Number 3, culvert ditch maintenance. I know that we don't, you know, I have calls about culverts, and I've told people in my town hall meetings and told them that we don't have routine culvert maintenance. It's on a call-in basis. And I know we cannot incur any other expenses to have somebody dedicated to something like this, but I would hope that, and maybe they do, when the road department is out and if they see, I mean, just kind of be looking. Since I've become a county commissioner, I never looked at the condition of a road, a culvert, a ditch, signs, or anything like that. But since I've become a county commissioner, I was out west, and I was surveying their roads and their ditches and all that stuff. So
yes, sir.
You kind of start doing that.
I do that.
And so I'm hoping that the road department, as they're applying to something, they would note something like that, a culvert. And a lot of them are stopped up and bent over. We really need, but anyway, if they could be encouraged to please notate that, and when they get this opportunity to try to fix it before we have a complaint, if at all possible. The biggest problem, though, is with Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving that stuff. I mean,
right.
I'm telling you, I've had so many calls, and I've gone out and looked at it, and it is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere they go, they are leaving a mess. And have you spoken to Danny Collins about this? And what has he said?
Well, he always says that they were supposed to pick it up, and they'll send someone out to pick it up. But then I have to tell him where it is, and it becomes, I feel like, an issue for county staff trying to hold they are tree trimmers responsible, which doesn't seem quite.
So what do we do then?
Well, I can reach out to him again and ask him what their plan is moving forward. So, you know, we don't stop what we're doing to ask him to hold their people accountable. And I can just ask him if
and if that doesn't work, what recourse do we have?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Okay, because I'll tell you right now, I'm sick and tired of the calls about, I'm not sick and tired of the calls, but I'm tired of them leaving that stuff in the ditches, causing, I mean, I don't want that in front of my house or my property, and no more than they do.
Well, especially if citizens think that it's our public works department who is leaving a mess, that just creates a lot of complaints and, you know, citizen calls that we have to answer.
Well, now most of the calls I've had, they pretty much know who did it, mm-hmm. but they think that we're supposed to come back and pick it up. They know who
right.
did it,
right?
But
it's on county right away.
They think we should go pick it up, and we don't have. I mean, we can't even do what we need to do now, much less clean up their mess behind them. Tell Danny he has to do something about it, or we're gonna have to get mean.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, it looked like if when we try to do something, we leave debris out. It's our responsibility. Mm-hmm. It looks like every entity ought to be responsible for its own cleanup.
Well, they are, but the problem is I feel like we have to remind them more than once and provide the address. And so instead of whoever they're contracting to do this work, it's kind of falls back on county staff to enforce what they should be doing anyway.
Yeah, we have to spend our time
right.
yeah.
to go and get an address mm-hmm. and get it to them. Then mm-hmm. I don't know that anything is done about it. But just tell him, you know, we've been nice for a long time.
Okay.
But we really want this to change. Huh. On Spring, Ellison Road, on North Ellison Road, in front of the cemetery that we've been working on. Mm-hmm. They did take down some fence there and move it back. Now, are we to mow and clean that up, or were they responsible, or they were just moving the fence?
The recollection I have is they said they would move the fence.
Just move the fence.
I don't recall. We probably didn't ask the question
at
the time.
And when you talk to Danny, would you ask him, do they plan to move any more fence back? Now, I recognize that there's an area there where there's a pole that they can't move the fence. But further on down Ellison Road from San Pedro Road, further on down, looks like there's an opportunity down there that they can still move kind of a rickety fence, that they can still allow some more room for parking for people that are having burials out there. If he could please do that. Number four, space needs, present future. You know, we got a space needs study a while back, I think, but was it when Dustin was here?
He initiated it.
Yeah, he initiated it.
And, you know, we haven't heard anything else about it, and I know the sheriff's wanting more space, everybody wants more space, and we're paying an enormous fee for our state's attorney to be over in the building that they're in. What if that is coming up for the night?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'll have to check that.
It's a lot of money. Question: have the extra utilities and all that?
I'm sorry, I'm joking, but I have a question about the state attorney. Why are we paying?
Because we have to.
Our law.
And what happened when we?
Well, I'm not aware of it, so that's why I'm asking. Why are
we got the state's attorney now. When he came into office, wasn't very long, he came over and brought us some information that by law, I guess, he could ask for more space, and he wanted that more space that he could have. So
By law, he can ask for the space.
Ask for more space.
But by law, he would have to provide.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
He's allocated so much, and he, being in the courthouse, he was below that amount that he could have. So he wanted the amount that he could have. So there was no way we could give him more space in the courthouse. So went out and they found a building that they could get into. So then our cost went much higher to facilitate his needs or wants. So then now we have to pay a lease or a rent payment plus all the extra utilities. Mm-hmm. Whereas before he was in the courthouse. So, that's kind of where we're at. What I'd like to see is how we can get him back in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we vacated the share, that would free up some square footage. But courthouse is too small. And in defense of the state's attorney, his office, I went down there and visited him. He had a place in the hall with this, right in front of the fire station, the investigator. Had to talk to people there out front, everybody. I mean, he's crowded. So was the supervisor. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether we'll ever have enough space at the courthouse to move him back over there, which would be ideal if we could.
Well, to me, the courthouse, to me, should be for the court system.
Right.
You've got the clerk, you've got the judges, and you've got the estate attorney, and you've got the sheriff. Most counties that you're looking at are male, their tax collector and their property appraiser and their supervisor of elections are off-site.
And the sheriff's department.
And some sheriff's department. Yeah. But if you took the tax collector and the property appraiser and you combine them, say out there where the tax collector's office is on 19, for instance, if we could find out how to do it, expand that and have a one stop for people where they've got their tax collector, their property appraisers, plenty of parking. I know there was opposition when we first moved the supervisor of elections out, but people love it. They love it. There's plenty of easy parking. And so if you took the property appraiser and the tax collector out of the courthouse, then you could bring the state's attorney back over and then have a one stop shopping for the other two.
You got room right there by the hospital to have that kind of thing, and that would be right behind Dana's place.
You can expand where Dana is or where Mark is down there at the old highway patrols. Expand out on there.
But we don't own that.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
yeah, that's a lease that highway patrol.
But then where Dana's at, if we could have all three of them, if we could expand that area, that would be one shot. That would be great.
Well, you got plenty of property out of the hospital there.
We got plenty of property right there.
But
what place you don't have a bill?
Right.
Now, which is better? Continue to pay $1,300 a month rent, utilities, or building bills?
Is there grant opportunities like I know they're going to help renovate or do some work on the courthouse? Is there any kind of money like that to help counties expand?
Well, there may be.
I mean,
we could ask for a legislative appropriation next year
for
something like that, for another building. Now, could we not move the state attorney back into the courthouse where the supervisor of elections was?
Well, who's using that space here?
Sheriff's office.
The sheriff's office is using it
now. The sheriff's got a table in there, but now Judge Blue had asked for it. I think we told him he could have it.
Right. We did.
Well, he came over to you before, so he said, yeah, you can have it, but, I mean, The best thing if we could get legislative appropriations to combine supervisor election, or not combine, but put them in the same location, property appraiser, tax assessor out there, I think the public would love that. And it would free up, get him back over here.
People ask me about that, and that $1,300 you're talking about, they're paying for the rent, could almost pay a payment on the building. That we could build out.
You know, that's right. Plus, you can consider the electricity and the other things that we're having to pay for over there.
That's exactly right.
You're right.
And the sheriff's department, it wouldn't hurt the sheriff's department to have a building out at the jail.
Oh, I'd love
that. I think they would all agree to that, and that would eliminate a lot of parking issues at the courthouse for the businesses and everything else.
Now, the downtown Murphy. merchants, you know, were all in a tizzy when they got moved out.
Right, and downtown Perry, you know that.
They did, but the whole thing is, where Dana is, and if we put the other two out here with her, there's no restaurants right there, so they got to go somewhere to eat.
And come back.
And the best, some of the best places to eat are right here on them.
Well, the hospital got a real rough, that a lot of people eat at, you know, right there.
Very reasonable.
Well, and you can save your 1 cent money, you know, towards building something like that. Once we maybe get caught up with some of the infrastructure needs that we have, that would be a good use of that funds as well.
What is y'all, do y'all agree with some of the things? I mean, what are y'all thinking?
I'm all about that because it took all we could do just to get Dana where she's at. I mean, and that worked out so good. People on and on about that. They were against it strongly, and now they come back and said that was a blessing.
And I love it too.
I love it. It's wonderful. I really like it.
And there's a lot of people that giving up their steps to EC4, you know, and scored out. And it would just be a lot better if the parking. I've had old people call me and just complain about parking over there. That's the reason we changed and move the parking out of that parking lot because people complaining they just couldn't even park. They hadn't parked over by Bloodworth and everywhere else and walk all the way to the courthouse, you know. And that's the reason we did what we did about the parking lot over there. And I caught a lot of flack about the parking lot. But now it's not crowded like it was. And people are proud of it now. It just changed. People hate to make a change.
That's right.
But we need, that's our job to look ahead and try to plan in the future, and that's what I'm all about, you know.
Even though we have this old highway control building leased for 99 years, I think, we go in and we buy a tag or we pay our taxes. We use one little entrance on the side. What do they do with the rest of that building? That building is a fairly good-sized building.
They were sharing it with the sheriff's office. I know previously. I'm not sure if they still are.
Right.
And I know at one point.
We're going to be criticized for taking the place that you got under a 99-year lease and moving people out, building a facility. If that would be best,
the proximity is further from town. Pardon? The access is further away from town.
Well, it is.
It was in the office. One consideration may be some sort of traffic information. You put that many more folks there, no red light or anything else as far as access and traffic congestion. So there's going to be opposition either way you go.
Either way you go. But you're right. Now, that parking lot is not that big because they do drive a desk out there in the parking lot also.
And adjacent business out there next to it.
Yeah, hospital. The hospital property would be a better property. Which we don't have traffic out there either. But they got a bit of interest going into the hospital and you wow.
you can turn right off that end and you play right on around to the building behind Main. And we own that. We don't, and you got city water and city sewer right there. And that's a big plus when you get a building something. Right.
Well, you're gonna have opposition, as has been pointed out. I don't care what decision you make and where you look.
Well, our job, you know, when we ran for this job and were fortunate enough to be elected,
we knew
right then that there were going to be things that was going to be easy and things that was going to be hard. And you're always going to have opposition. I don't care what you do, almost there's opposition. But we're tasked with leading the county and making the best decision for the county, for now and for the future. That's what we're here for. And, you know, we try, and I have to say this more, we really try to please the citizens. I think we've even gone overboard sometimes in trying to please people and not even made decisions when we probably shouldn't have because we wanted to help some group or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know. This is a business, and we're tasked with looking into the future. And we're paying that kind of money over here, and we could work out something else. In the end, after all the griping and bellyaching, just like with Dana, everybody would probably be happy.
There is a summary. Oh, excuse me.
What I don't want to do is talk about it today, and then in 3 years, come back.
Kick the can down the road a little farther.
This is so
do that.
If this is something that this board really would like to see happen, then we need to take steps to work toward it. It's not going to happen this year, next year, the next probably, but at least we've got a plan that we're actively working on instead of discussion that, oh yeah, that was a good idea. But before I go on, I want to hear from the other two commissioners.
One question about the jail facility. Can that facilitate sheriff's fund? Is it big enough to do so?
It would have to be another structure out there.
That was the question I had with that. But it does streamline the effort when you have those agencies separated. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the 12th Street Courthouse in Miami, but it is a nightmare. If you're standing in line for 3 hours to pay your tax, so you want to get rid of all of that before that ends up coming here.
Right.
So if you streamline that effort, I had a lot of people complain about Dana going out, but once they figured out what was going on, they saw the light at the end of the tunnel. They understood what was going on. So if you differentiate, you pull your sheriff, put him in the jail. Clerk of court, your state attorney, and your judges, which you count your shirt to keep them in the court. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, for hundreds of years, that's how it works.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, in the past 30 years, they decided to combine all of this. I think it needs to be separated.
Yeah.
It really, really needs to be separated. That's just my personal opinion. But hearing from people, it has streamlined the effort by putting what we do with them.
But you know, change is hard.
It is.
For all of us. You don't, you know, we resist change sometimes without even thinking about it because it's change. It's not what we're used to.
Right.
But, you know, we've got to expand our horizon and take the blinders off and look to the future of what's best. You know, I won't be here always, but while I'm here, I'd like to hope to put things in place that one day will be better for our county. Commissioner
Gibbs? You know, I look, that's a vacant building around the courthouse. Across the street from the courthouse over there.
We chased those vacant buildings when Dana's project was in. And we never could find one at one reason is it's perfect.
That may not be enough.
Carol Swan's got a lot of buildings. She'd be denied the rent.
I'd like to see downtown Grubbin with merchants.
Yeah.
Merchants. Yeah. Not businesses, but merchants.
Yeah. Okay.
Commissioner Finkel, would it be, we passed out the feasibility studies. There is a summary of concerns close to, it's the third page from the end maybe. Could staff get some direction if the board wishes to follow this roadmap that was laid out, or if you want to go in a different direction? It's very similar to what you've discussed. I know that.
I don't know where you're at.
It's almost to the very back.
4.1
summary.
Where do we go from here, is that it?
4.1. Summary of concerns.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Dan is here.
Thank you, Danny.
He's here.
So my question would be, is this the roadmap y'all want to follow, or do you want to change this, or do you want to just start all over again? I know there were some very good ideas in this feasibility study, because the first line is relocate the sheriff's administration to new building adjacent to jail.
And when you go on down though, it's still keeping the same people.
It is.
And it still doesn't accommodate the assistant attorney, state's attorney that we're paying a lot of money for. So I don't like most of this plan myself, just speaking for me.
Right.
Some of it I like, some of it I don't. We paid a big bunch of money for this feasibility study.
Yeah,
so I try to follow it, but sometimes these consultants don't.
Well, we don't really
get right.
I mean, I think at the time the feasibility study was performed, we didn't have the situation with
the state attorney's
office.
I don't think we did. So
it may not have.
This has been three
or 4 years ago, you know, things change. I hate to sit the money, but
well, and that's fine.
There's three offices over there. One's identified with the sheriff's needs, and he needs to be out of there. Mm-hmm. In a bigger space, over here on 27, which is a logical place to put in a building. That's kind of, for me, that freed up some space. Mm-hmm. And if the tax collector is moved, this provisional to put the tax collector all on one floor, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and wherever you move the tax collector, it's logical to be with the property greater in the same building.
That's right.
And that's my opinion.
Yeah. That would be the perfect pair.
That would be the way to do it. And then that frees up plenty of space for Judge Boone's needs, the state's attorney, I think, could fit in there. And the sheriff will probably need a little presence for bailiffs and the security people at the courthouse. Oh. He would need 1,500 square feet. But that's the direction, long term, that we need to be working toward, I think.
Yeah. And see, even this one says, even with the supervisor of elections here, it says,
I think that office
is
determined
now.
But, I mean, to me, that's free that courthouse up for court-related functions. Mm-hmm.
And public defenders and state's attorneys.
That's kind of all law type things. And then put the collector and the assessor out there with Dana, where you've got a nice area that we own, good parking, one stop, and get that state's attorney's office back in the courthouse.
Save that money. Right.
Yes.
Which state turned off that now?
Are there no above telephone building?
Yeah. Inside there, in there, something where the old Ford place used to be.
Okay.
How long have they been there?
Ever since he was elected, what, 3 years
ago? About 2 years.
Okay.
And we got room at the airport and Ford's got the hall for time, too. We've got plenty of room right there that's just sitting there. Not being used for anybody.
Well, since Dana's already out here,
right?
I mean, yeah, we have got other options.
And if they just want to put the sheriff's department right there at the jail, it could very well be Fort Scott Hall or by the airport. And that would be still in a good location to be on in every direction they take again.
Yeah, I think the logistics with the sheriff's department and my personal view, they should be on the property with the jail.
On property with the jail. Yeah. I know you on that. I think so too.
Yeah.
And they got room out there. It's not like we don't have room.
Let me ask you this, Jim. You know more about this than I do. That lot we bought for Dana's office, that building, is there room enough to accommodate an entrance road to the wooded lot behind her that we own?
I think there's a lane there.
But would it be wide enough for a street?
I'm not sure. Wayman owned pretty close up to the building there, you know.
Yeah, right.
Wayman does. But now, I believe there's enough room to drive on the south side of the building. I don't know.
That'd be pretty tight.
So they drive on the south side.
Use the hospital property. I think the logical way to get back there is to go in the hospital entrance.
Well, we could change that hospital entrance as soon as you make that curve at that first curve there into the hospital.
Yeah, turn it all back in there.
You could just turn right in there. The ground level, it's smooth, everything's good right there.
Yeah, just have an extension.
Yeah, and put that thing back over there right behind Dana. And
right.
A sidewalk, and if you needed to go to supervisor elections,
right.
You can park and it can be done.
You have plenty of room there to do it. It's good high ground, and it'd be perfect right there.
So is the first priority moving forward to maybe identify the cost to relocate the sheriff? Is that our first priority, or do we need to talk about that some more?
So we want to do it one at a time, and one at a time.
I think we're going to do something when you do it all at one time.
That'd be nice if we could.
I mean,
well, we got to see what kind of 1 cent money we got left again. But you talk about doing all three of them, you're talking about well over $1 million.
Right.
They got the sheriff administrative building at 1.7 million. They've already done a nice cost for that. through the sheriff's department. Through the sheriff's department, they identified that?
Yeah, yeah, they
worked
they went out and worked with the sheriff and didn't find what he needed in this plan, and they've got an administrative building for him at the jail for 1.714.
Well, we want to apply for it. We have to identify our need and apply to the legislature. Just don't forget that option. Right, our 1 cent tax, but it has to come from something like that because we sure don't have.
Yeah, we don't have.
We don't have revenue in our budget to do it at all.
So, do we need to maybe consider having an architect identify?
No.
Okay, so we have
to spend that kind of money.
You don't spend any money yet.
I don't know how to spend this study or not. We're smart enough to do that. Okay.
But, you know, we can't ask for another legislative appropriation until next year, well, which is fine.
It's fine.
But we should be able to come up with some figures by then. That gives me ample year.
Well, now, that's just 1 cent money. We dedicated 25% of that to the sheriff but for 3 years. Mm-hmm. What happens at the end of the third year, which is coming up next year?
Then I would say
I'll assume we'll have to give them 25%, or else we've got to find them 25% somewhere else, which means a millage increase. So 25% is already spent. Mm-hmm. Now we've been dipping into that for capital needs a little bit. How much, what percent have we got left?
Don't have it off like
1.6.
1.6.
Is what I'm estimating for this year.
But remember.
So we've got 1.6 million per year unspent, undedicated.
This year.
This year. Because we had some carry forward from last year. But remember that when we started working on the 5-year capital improvement plan, that we're considering that first year dipping into some of that 1 cent reserve because we're using 1 cent monies to in some of our other funds. So, for example, we have encumbered 1 cent funds for solid waste and for public works capital because we don't have enough revenue really in those departments to purchase capital. So we're using our 1 cent funds to try to help us in some of our other funds because we don't have enough left over to purchase capital.
How much is freed up then? What's the bottom line?
About 1.6 for this year.
For this year.
I have to look at our
now, next year, if everything stays the same, mm-hmm. we'll generate another $2 million in the tax. And so that'll be about another 1.5. So if you wait until the end of next year, you'll have $3
billion.
We could do a lot. And what was that sheriff's number again, Jim?
1.7. We need to spend some of that.
1.7. We could do one.
We do need to take into consideration that I think our draft CIP, we spend about $1 million a year on just our capital needs, which we do. I think we can set up a building fund. But the way we're looking at it is we need to play catch up with some of our infrastructure needs.
Okay.
With
so our power infrastructure needs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You need 2 years to catch up or this year?
I think the first year, if you approve this a 5-year CIP, I believe that the first year we would hopefully catch up.
That would be this budget year.
Through
the capital improvement and use this 1.6 million mm-hmm. plus the 1.5 and then you caught up.
I think we've spread it out over 5 years. I would feel better about utilizing something other than 1 cent funds
to purchase
capital.
Well, it seems to me like that we would have about half of this project funded with the 1 cent excess, 1.6, mm-hmm. and next year with another 1.5, mm-hmm. and still have a little bit of left there for you to you can catch up. Mm-hmm. And at that point, if it should be next year, you'd have about $3 million. Because you don't want to deplete it down to zero, but at least you can do one project.
Yeah.
One of them. And then.
And really, we were just trying to build up our reserves a little bit because, you know, this goes back to, you know, how we had to balance our budget.
Yeah.
This current year, we had to use capital money basically to fund our operations. So I think, so we kind of scaled back on our capital list, and so we're just kind of going a little bit, trying to get caught up.
I'm wondering if, for instance, if we, next year, if we could move the sheriff next year, and then if we move the sheriff, would that be enough room with the extra space that we've got over there to go ahead and move the state's attorney back in?
Mm-hmm.
Then the year after that, plan on moving the other two out, and that way within 2-3 years, we've got it all done. If we go ahead and start now, and this is our plan, this is what we're going to do, and then when it gets to the point of designing a building, I don't know if Kenneth can do that, or if you have to hire an outside person to, you know, but I would say metal buildings work well.
You can build a real big building for $1.7 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You could build way more than they got in that courthouse for a lot less than $1.7 million.
Yeah, I don't think we need $1.7 million.
That's $250,000 building with all everything be a lot nicer than what they've got up there right now.
Yeah,
a lot
okay.
More room.
So I think the plan would be if the board is, if you know, is it. We work toward moving the sheriff next year in 2020, and then in 2021 that we work toward moving the tax collector and the property appraiser out where Bennett is. But next year when we move the sheriff, go ahead and get the state's attorney back over. If that leases, I know that we've got to be nearing the end of that lease. So we sure don't want to renew it for another long term.
No. Now, whether the space sheriff vacates over here, that be enough for the state's attorney?
Well, you've got where David was too. You've got John and
stuff. I can get it moving
up. Who's using Dana's space now?
Nobody.
Sheriff. Sheriff is. So they have two spaces. The Dana, I think, is split. He's going to argue, I don't want to be split.
Well,
I don't want to be 1300 a month either.
That's right.
He's split.
And I don't.
That's for you. Sheriff's office is pretty big.
It's pretty big space. Mm-hmm. I think you ought to get down there and not have to split. That's a good plan. I support that plan.
I think we all okay.
Sounds great.
That's a good plan.
Okay, let's have lunch.
And you'll have the Florida security officers here over there too.
Right.
Remember that. We're going to need a little office space.
Security way for.
Yeah, you don't need a little small office.
How many does the sheriff staff on a daily basis for security?
We're having usually three of us.
You need space for three people. We make it work.
We can fix that.
We're getting some in the space for you.
Those numbers I'm looking for.
Okay.
How
you
much
have
do you
need
to put in
this?
How much would you like to market?
Is it fixed, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What
we need to get bought on?
195. Yes, sir. That would be great. That's perfect. That's something. Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to open a restaurant or anything.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's fine. That's perfect. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Sorry, I'm going to put that in our CIP building fund or whatever.
if they don't come out even, I can make an additional contribution.
Thank you.
They'll come on.
We are coming. We're talking about our CIP.
I'm not going to talk about this whole commission.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a $5 bill. My family's in a $5 bill clique.
Are they?
Yeah.
What do? Save their $5 bill?
Yeah, they save $5.
That's good.
That's amazing. I'm never cold. Yeah. I'm never get cold. But it may be cold if something
I'm not thinking. Thank you, sir. Nice office. It's really nice.
Very good.
You know our phones are going to start ringing off the hook.
About what?
Huh? About our last discussion.
Oh.
I'm just going to take that. It'll happen.
Let them ring.
I think the security efforts, the sheriff needs to be going to jail probably.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, our courthouse security appropriation request was approved in the house last week. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. Actually, someone reached out to me and said, if you want more, just tell us more what you want. So we're working on that.
Oh, yeah, we need more.
So
we need a new courthouse. We need a new sheriff's facility.
Just hope that when it gets to the governor's desk, he doesn't veto it.
Well, it's such a small amount. I'm hoping they won't.
Oh, maybe not.
Well, Miss Judy, you just check for me. Were you back in the back? You didn't see last year I didn't go. Don't miss me. Well, I said, last year I didn't want to get dressed, bed in there, we were paying our $15 each and we didn't go.
I had some free tickets, but on Friday, I'm still more out of recovery from last year.
Yeah, I know you were. Well, tell me about the sick guy. You got a little one.
He did. I'm telling you, that little fellow was sick.
I thought he might be still sick, and I'm going to
put him on. No, he wasn't. It wasn't just me.
Oh, she just came and took the chair.
Yeah, I asked Betty, is that the one that's,
she was my date by the end of the night.
Yeah, her date?
She is...
No, I think she just came over and sat, because it is the chair.
So she's the director of the Madison County Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay.
Very nice.
Our Madison Charter program, we didn't have a big old speaker and all that fun and game stuff. Very good. Tennis seemed to be down a little bit.
You think Farm does a good job.
He does that.
They
have
the amount of money for somebody to come in. And, but we got up early Saturday morning and went to Tampa. Our son Jared and his wife were having a baby. It's due on March the 31st. So she had a shower. So we went to the shower and all the guys went and played golf. I had a little girl. Her name is Sadie Rose.
Oh. I love that
number. Number one or two?
First.
Oh, I know there's not.
So we're very excited. Been a long time since we had a baby. Jim, how old are your grandchildren now?
Do what?
How old are your grandchildren?
7 and 10.
7 and 10? Yep. And little girl's 7. How does?
Well, they grow up in a hurry.
Our family's got two-year-old girls. Oh, I love Park.
Oh.
And they're, we had both their birthdays, but both two-year birthdays.
I bet they're cute.
So Margaret's granddaughter, she gets them both at the same time, keeps them here for that.
Oh, those are the cutest.
Some black twins.
They are so cute.
The cute as they can be.
No.
Thank you. Oh, good. Smells packets.
Monday night.
Marcia just went and got everyone's packets for the meeting.
Thank you.
If I don't mind. I do all mine online.
I feel like I am perfect pizza.
Yes, but we're going to have to get serious about finding a little alternate road around the Keaton Beach boat ramp. That's something that we've really got to be talking about and really put the plans in place. Especially if we acquire Hagen's Cove, then we're going to have we're going to have to cut that corner off or something for people to bypass that boat ramp.
We need to do that. That's a mess right there.
And it works too if we get Hagen's Cove.
Yeah.
I actually did find a contact at FWC. I sent an email last week, and the gentleman I need to speak with is out this week, but we haven't made contact with him yet to ask if they would be interested in a partnership. So,
well, somebody said that they weren't interested. Where did that come from? I heard somebody say they'd probably be glad to
get rid of me. I don't know.
I can't find any documentation.
I'm not sure. The first said no, they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back and said, yeah, they do want to. So
we'll get to the bottom of it before we get the money.
I know Commissioner Dix.
You got something to do too.
I'll have things to do if you want to feed cats. Check on my cat. I'm going back to see Ryan with my bride.
That sounds nice.
Get him out of plan.
We'll have to be down there Saturday.
One ribbon with a Gucci.
Well, I pick up the children. I get in line every day at 2 o'clock. So I was afraid today. I'd rather make arrangements and, know that I'm home.
For second big old coffee?
Yeah, but if I eat them, I get really sleepy.
Did we have jumping jacks over
there? So when he took them to school and came back in, I said, what was Hunter needing to talk to you about that he wouldn't talk to me about? He said that he has, there's a little boy at school and they're going on a field trip tomorrow to Tallahassee to the skate world. And it's $12, and said the little boy couldn't go because he didn't have $12. So he wanted Richard to give him $12 to give the little boy. And I said, well, And so Richard gave him $12 to give to the little boy just so he could turn it in today. And I said, but I wonder why he didn't want to share that with me. Richard said, well, there's some things they share with me and some things they share with you.
There's a
tie. Well, it's a no. Usually it's a no with me and it's always a yes with Richard.
What was he wanting you to tell me yesterday or day before?
Oh, about the bench out at the sports complex that sit under the goalpost. There's a bird's roost up there.
Mm-hmm.
And make a mess on the bench.
They haven't moved that?
And huh?
They haven't moved that?
I think they did.
Okay.
I think they did.
He was so cute. I heard, tell her something.
Yeah, well, I've only gotten a car, but that's the only one. I'll tell someone we're talking to people, not with them. What the heck are you talking about?
talking about me.
I'm gonna try to find it. I figured it was something he was embarrassed about.
I was reading an article yesterday about Southern manners and how so many places that used to incorporate Southern manners are not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just a few states where it's more prevalent than it is in others. And, you know, we're brought up with Southern manners, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and if you didn't, it wasn't an option, I'm telling you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I've taught my children that, and these grandchildren, they're doing that. But a lot of people are not doing that anymore.
No. I don't agree with that.
I just think that's wrong. Even my older children are yes, sir, mm-hmm. yes, ma'am. I don't know how the public school handles that, but I know at Anna's school it's not an option. Is that right? Well, that's good that the school teaches manners.
They don't just teach it, they enforce it.
No, yes. The school doesn't. And you know, you'll see kids when people adult after them, they'll say yes or mm-hmm. no or what. Ooh, wait a minute, so much trouble kids said what? You don't know whether about that, do you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I grew up in an iron fish Jewish household. You think you had it bad. It was yes sir, yes sir, yes ma'am, and multiple languages.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
So, I can see the value of the Southern issue with that because, you know, from try to separate it from government, but from a religious aspect, honor. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say you have to like them or understand them.
That's right.
Says you
want. That's right.
And that's where that comes from. Yes or no, sir.
My parents didn't force that, my grandparents did. I remember getting a whipping from my mom and my grandma one time or something. I got two whippings. I got a lot of whippings growing up.
I can remember. Mom always switched on the legs a little, and she switched all that things.
I got floss water one of them.
But now, my daddy never put me in a back twice. But when you got put by him, he was like beating down me, and I'm telling you, but God abuse him. And I was a smart mouth teenager the last time he cut me good, I got fired from brother. And tore my brother's new wristwatch. And I wound up beating them out of our time and had to buy my brother a new wristwatch. And what was the money I had worked all summer and cropping the back. I'll never forget that.
I bet you won't. Because if you're like me, I made $3 a day for my kind of string, then I made $5 a day.
Well, I was a fighter, but it cost me a wristwatch. But I kicked him in the wrong place, and that's what I got to go worry about. No. That's how my brother don't like me to this day, I bet. That could have been it. You probably could have remembered
that. If it's okay with y'all, why don't we go ahead and get started while we're still eating? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fine by me.
Okay, we'll go to number 5, the tournaments and recreation. I've already talked to Wanda about this.
So in speaking with our recreation coordinator, who is Greg Mullins, he is working diligently to improve the condition of the fields and make them compliant with what we need to do. But when I asked him about the possibility of bringing more teams and more, you know, some maybe some small tournaments to our sports complex. He's told me consistently of some improvements that we need to make. And I handed out the capital request list that we used at budget time. Mm-hmm. And if you'll look at Department 0473, Sports Complex, mm-hmm. we had asked for $25,000 and to purchase batting cages, fencing, and windscreen. But then we subsequently took that off the list just because we were facing such a crisis with our budget. Now, just as part of the process, the $25,000 is in the sports complex budget, but they are not allowed to spend it because the board did not approve that as part of our capital request for this year. So I spoke with Greg again yesterday, and he feels very strongly that if he was able to purchase a batting cage, some windscreens, and four portable pitching mounts, fiberglass mounts, that it would greatly improve our sports complex and our recreation program for the children.
What's the cost of that?
The batting cage all together is about $22,000. The windscreen is $1,500, and the fiberglass mounts are $1,000 each.
That's $4,000.
For the pitching mounts. However, we were able to identify that we have some money in a separate fund that's for donations. And for field one and field two, we have a $6,000 balance in that fund that we have not spent. So if we use our current money that is budgeted under capital for the batting cage and the windscreens, then I feel like we could use the donation funds to buy the fiberglass portable mounts. And according to one of the coaches and to Greg, we're using clay mounts now and they just don't hold up. We have to replace them about every year. The fiberglass mounts should last about 5 years is what I'm being told. So it sounds like it would save us money in the long run. It's still an investment. What we're asking to do is just to be able to utilize the funding that's in the budget and make these improvements to the sports complex with the hope that it would bring some other teams to our area.
Do you foresee, looking at the budget coming up, that you would be able to leave? Do you think you're going to need this money to go somewhere else, or would it be left in recreation, or maybe would it be safe to go ahead and spend it? That's what I'm trying to
yes,
say.
Ma'am. It's once this general fund reserve for capital.
And you don't know that you would need it for somewhere else?
I don't believe so.
Something more critical?
Well, there's always, it seems like, something critical. But I think we have enough funds in our 1 cent funds that, and I don't know that we shouldn't transfer from 1 cent. How do you have it set up in the budget? It's already
a transfer.
It's just a transfer. So we could maybe use money out of our 1 cent balance mm-hmm. for the $25,000. So we could do that.
Do you have any projections of what kind of revenue may come from one big nice tournament?
I don't.
We don't have any history.
We don't. Now, it seems like last year.
Do you want me to go look? Because 2 years ago we had a tournament.
We did. And I was thinking about our concessions account.
And I want to think it was around 15,000, but I can go. Is your computer on?
It would probably be
15,000. See, if we had several of those a year, that'd be good.
Which I don't
know. Not only for us, but for businesses.
Okay.
So this is pretty important that we try to get this underway then, because it helps everybody.
Well, what I will say, yes, and what I will say is that Mr. Ramos has worked very hard, and I feel confident in trusting his lead on this because of his experience with recreation, and he is adamant. Sometimes, you know, our needs can change or our focus can change. But I've spoken with him numerous times, and he is consistent. We need he's asking for two batting cages, and I said, okay, well, how about one? Would one do the trick? And, I mean, he feels like we need to invest in one this year, and maybe one next year. But he said, he told me yesterday, Ms. LaWanda, if we could do this, I'd feel confident that we could draw in some teams, and, you know, we could get more players here.
And I'm all, for me, just one commissioner, I'm all for it. And so we finally got somebody really good out there that I think we should be very proud of him and who we've got. But I hear from the rest of the board to see what everybody else says.
Well, it won't increase the budget. The money's already there. So we reduced 167,000 from our capital request for this year. But the those funds are sitting in the budgets. We just don't allow people to see them. So it wouldn't be an increase in the budget. It would just be a matter of, you know, me approving a purchase order, you know, purchase orders to make these purchases. So I don't, you know, as far as I think it just, and if the board's in agreement that this is the direction we need to go, we shouldn't have to put this on the agenda hearing.
It sounds like, depending on what the numbers project, but it sounds like an investment back into the camp to entice this type of atmosphere. Because it's minute as it stands, but if we build something to entice that, okay, so we would consider that an investment, depending on the money, you probably recoup that in less than a year.
Yeah.
If you hold one event.
Right.
And possibility we're not going to just entice one, we want to entice as many as possible.
And it may take 2 years. I mean, if we made $15,000 last year on concessions and admissions, but of course, you know, keep in mind that if we have tournaments come in, we may have to increase our operational expenditures.
Of course.
We have to buy more food, and we, you know, so so it's not. I don't know that we cleared 15,000. Daniel's checking on that now. But we may have to come back to the board and say, well, guess what? We're out of food money because we've had an increase and we've had more games and we have
to. That's a good problem to have.
As long as you're making a little profit.
Sure.
Now, can I ask a question? These are all in they're in the budget now?
Yes, sir. But under the reduced capital column, anything you see in parentheses is what we took that we said we were not going to buy. So you'll see on the sports complex line that $25,000 is out of reserve, and then we back the $25,000 out.
So that money is already in budget?
Yes.
And we want more tournaments and it's going on the track, hopefully. Let's go ahead and do that. That would be a high priority. Now, there's two or three things on down the list I've been reading ahead of us that I need some explanation on.
Okay.
You want to let's talk about that or let's just go down the list? I can point out those that I'm that concerned with.
Well, let me just ask the rest of the board about the
contracts
and doing the expenditures and then the stuff.
All right, that's fine.
So,
right, I just like to see what her numbers are, to see what it's producing. That's the only thing I'm looking at.
Well, I think our youth is our investment of the future. And the more you got them in constructive and controlled atmosphere, most time they will be productive citizens. Now, I can't stress enough, you can't invest enough in your youth.
Amen.
You fail to do it here. Sheriff Peck had a hell of a month.
That's right.
Okay. Now that $25,000 I think is well spent. And I would say go do our best to try to get it.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
Okay. So we're going to move forward with that then. Okay.
Now. That one batting cage and the mound. And
it would be a batting cage, 1.5 windscreens.
Okay.
We repaired the fencing, so we would need that, and 4 portable pitching mounds.
Okay.
Can we do the 2 batting cages like he's requesting, or is that totally okay? We'll wait on that.
Not unless the board, I mean, we would have to come back to the board and ask for funds for that. But we have enough between what's in the sports complex budget and then what's in the donation budget to pay for all of that.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
There's only one thing about that out there that I want to get a handle on. Is that business we had got tore up right there just recently, because access to the place, we need to get access under control.
So what we said,
we're going to spend this extra money on that stuff, but that could be tore up real easy.
So what we've done is I reached out to the sheriff's office. I spoke with Marty, and they are increasing patrol as much as they can. So they lock the sports complex at night for us, but then they'll drive through the complex. And from what I've been told, they've had additional drive-throughs, because I asked Marty, you know, if y'all were out that way, can you just drive through the complex just to help us with just a presence out there? I'm hoping is a deterrent.
In other words, they're not going to lock the gate at night.
No, it's locked.
It's locked.
It's locked, yes, sir.
But they're going to want to lock the gate and drive around through it. And just...
When they come in to lock the gate, they'll drive around, they'll lock the gate, okay. And then the fire department unlocks the gate in the morning.
The gate wasn't locked when all that damage got set place. Must have been open. Or did they run through the gate?
We had an issue with the lock out there. So there was a time around that time that we found the gate unlocked. So we changed the locks and gave the new combination. I called the sheriff's office, gave the new combination to the sheriff's office and to the fire department.
Good.
And we may have to do that every once in a while.
We'll change the law.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, my time then?
Sheriff.
All right, I'm looking at, I'm going to go down the list now. I'll tell you what my concerns are. I looked at animal patrol. I have no problem with that. They need a place to shop. And solid waste of the 6 containers, that's fine.
Now, we took 3 of those out.
All right, now, the solid waste truck. We come to the conclusion that we're going to lease a truck or we're going to buy one this year?
I believe our recommendation would be to lease vehicles. Going through the process now of checking some of the references from the other counties, and I sent the RFP from Tallahassee to Conrad for his review.
Okay. All right, that's done. Now, I question the amount of the shitty roll-off side fence. That's a big roll-off side. That's something better than this. Pam, what's your feeling on that?
I think $30,000 is way too much.
Way too much.
Well, that was reduced.
That's a Mexican borrow-off.
Well, that was actually reduced to $20,000, and then...
That's still too much for a fence at a roll-off side.
Okay. And I believe that, now I did address that with Gary, we haven't moved on to that project yet, but we wouldn't spend, it's kind of like the library roof. People put in worst case scenarios, but if we don't spend those funds, it will go back into reserve. We're not going to go in.
I'm talking about the chain link fence, a nice tall one.
Good.
I don't know if that stuff must be more expensive than I think.
I just bought one the other day, and 6 foot chain fence was $129 a roll, 50 foot. Every 50 foot, $129. That's just wire.
And you can double that with the labor. So you can
double that with the labor. And then you got
$5
poles are about $6, $7 a piece. And you got to have them, you know. Every 10 feet, so it mounts up pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you say we have allocated $30,000, this is public record, then you go talk to companies, they know what you've allocated, it's going to be $30,000.
Right, that's what
they're saying. If you say I've got $100,000 for a bathroom, it's going to be $100,000.
Are we going to try to do that with our insurance squad, or are we going to contract out?
Just don't contract it if we could. And I don't think we'd use our inmate squad if we could. And I don't, I mean, I'll double check with him on that number. Like I said, that was reduced to 20. I don't know. All right, now going down to the county extension, how many minivans have we had donated and bought since
I've been here?
That's why it was taken out of the budget.
Oh, it's out.
It's out. So if there's a reduced capital next to it, that means back it out. So now, they are still asking for the telephone system.
What's wrong with the one they got?
It's over 20 years old, and it's very difficult to find parts and pieces for it. And they would like to purchase that this year. And then we have a replacement phone system next year for this office. I don't know if we want to do it all at one time, but they are still asking for consideration.
If it's working, it's working, and I wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah, if it's working, okay. It'll last until we just can't, until you can't call them.
That's fine, I mean.
And it was reduced, it was taken out, the minivan and the phone system.
Now, this new canal dredging on down here, that's for the Keaton Beach main canal. And is a match to that? Where did it match?
Actually, I believe, let me check on that.
That's our county match.
That's our county match, and then did we move 98,000 for over for steam hatching? Is that the number? Okay, I'll have to check on that as well.
Well, is that canal, you and I talked about canal, and you said maybe before the end of the year we might have enough money in pot one to start on the Keaton Beach canal. That's still our plan?
Yes, sir.
I know there's a match involved in that.
It's already budgeted.
It already is?
It's budgeted, plus I've asked for legislative funding.
All right.
To help with that.
Now, on the other sports complex, this new HS host site, what is the HS sport?
Oh, that's not under sports complex. I didn't have a department number. That's the New Hampton Springs host site.
Oh, Hampton Springs.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to do that, or we put Hampton Springs at rest, and we're going to leave it like it is. I mean,
So I thought, yeah, that's further down, but I have assigned a staff person to start getting close to that.
To move that forward.
We need to do something with that, but I'd eat you down. That's a liability.
It's a liability, and we either need to get the host down there, or else we need to lock the gate.
Lock the gate. It is nothing but a mess down there. They tore the fence down last week, and they got trash everywhere, and just the fence is played around the pool.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that next on the list.
Okay.
All right, and then that's on the next page. Not too long ago, called the Polaris, which is comparable to a gator, and that gator don't cost $16,000. Unless you get one with that. Then you can get one with four-wheel drive and all kind of pops and put bells and whistles. That's an Airport teenager.
So the
United is just an astronomical amount of money. Mm-hmm. What do you need a gator out there for? Ride around the airport? That's what you need. Mm-hmm. And you do it, $9,000 would work.
And we may have already purchased that. We use that for budget planning, but that's from airport revenue.
But we have a county vehicle out there.
Well, it's gator tonight, man. I mean, that's a big property right around.
They've already got one out there at the airport.
I can't remember if he's already purchased that.
They done got a Ranger.
Okay.
And they use it to spray over the side, and they do all kinds of
things. Yeah, it's better than anything to have around the property. I just question the amount of money there for. Now, the rest of this stuff is fire truck lease payment. I know that's got to be paid. Motor grader. Are we leasing a motor grader or a motor grader for $144,000?
It's multiple motor graders, and actually it's not really a lease payment. We ended up financing that, I think, at the time that we prepared this.
So we bought it financed?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's all the concerns.
Okay.
HVAC system that supervisor collected.
That's a repair.
That's a repair. Do we use the old one with AC that was out there when we bought the building? I thought this was the new one we put in.
They put the old the building.
Well, this is to replace the one that was in the building.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. So this is a replacement.
Well, that's not a bad price. Because I just had to buy one in my house. That's comfortable. All right. That's all the questions I've got. The rest of it.
Well, I'm kind of excited to, you know, that we're going to get things in place, and I'm excited that we have somebody at the sports complex that's really high quality, very good person, and I think that bringing a lot of tournaments here will benefit us, it'll benefit the businesses, and it's something for people to go and participate in or go, you know, as spectators or whatever, and I'm just real happy that maybe that's going to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. He's has a lot of contacts. He's very positive about being able to bring in additional activity. He's concerned about the size tournaments that we can bring in, and is trying to work with the local Sheldon hotels. And he says that, you know, sometimes not having enough restaurants can be an issue. Sometimes it's a little more of a challenge to bring in that particular crowd, but he believes that we can at least, you know, we've got to start somewhere, and that he can make progress in that area.
Yeah. I know when we had one a couple of 3 years ago, and it was fairly big, I had suggested at that time that when we're going to have a tournament, that we make it known, let's advertise, it should be in the paper, there should be some kind of signage out there in front of the sports complex, you know, stating the tournament and the days and the times, and just kind of, you know, because a lot of the public didn't know that we had something going on, so it's I think it's up to us to make sure that it's
market
it right. And I'm sure he will, because he's a
You know, I haven't had a sports complex call in a while since he's been here, I don't believe. So he must be doing something else.
He's getting really
following him all the day. Because we'll call you about sports.
We want to keep him.
And I had a coach come by yesterday. He was just, you know, it broke my heart a little bit because he was just pleading, can you please see if you can help us with these portable mounds? And I said, well, this is the first I've heard about it as far as. I didn't even realize they were new mounds, a new type of mound, that they're fiberglass. And, you know, we've got a lot of really good parents who give time out there, and they're trying to do something good for their children. So I know that this group will be thrilled when they hear that we're able to purchase.
You don't need us to take any action, because you already got your direction. Go ahead and order.
Now, what do you know what the city did the other night in terms of the lighting over at the practice field?
All I heard was that only one citizen appeared. So I don't know what their action was.
If you hear anything from Tyler Brown, if you don't mind, let me know what if they decided to do something about that, so I can let my constituent know. And it's just something they need to be doing. And I'll tell you, I would like to see more adult recreational opportunities. And I know, you know, before the churches had leagues, and they had all kind of issues, but that's a fun thing, too. And, you know, adults need fun things,
yeah.
You know,
we're family in, too. Family already.
Keep us out of trouble.
Well, and just for the board's information. Just for the board's information, the way, you know, the recreation dues work now, the football, the flag and regular football, the parents run those leagues. Soccer, the parents run. Softball, for this year, the county pays for insurance and jerseys. Next, for 2020, the county is committed to pay for jerseys. In 2021, parents will run that program. And for baseball, county takes care of uniforms, equipment, and umpires. For baseball, each child pays a registration fee between $45 and $60, depending on the age. And sponsors pay $300 to have their company recognized on a team jersey, or $450 for a banner and a name on the jersey.
I want a copy of that. And, you know, when we talked the other day about this, and I asked about other opportunities for tackle football, because once the kids get out of flag, then they don't have another opportunity until they get to business school. And I've had people that ask me about that. Why? What would it take to incorporate something like that? We ought to talk to him out there and see if that's...
Well, I think in the past, the direction, from what I understand, that we were taking was to try to have parents run these organizations instead of the county, you know, running everything, since we're so short-staffed and, you know, our budget is in such a crunch. So I'm assuming that that's something that would be up to the parents.
Well, let them know that, because they don't know that. I didn't know that, but, I mean, if they want to have something like that, it needs to be put out there so people know. And maybe he can hand out flyers and talk to his coaches and see if that's enough, if there's enough of people. Because I tell you, the parent-run programs out there are great. They work very well.
They do. Okay, I'll get back with him on that.
Okay. Anything else about recreation? Okay, if not, we'll move on to Hampton Springs Park. I just wanted to know the status on that. You know, we did a lot of meeting and organizing and planning and this, that, and the other, and I haven't heard anything since then.
Well, and part of that is because that was something that Melody was working hard on, and she's just working part-time now. So we do have a void, I would say, when it comes to Hampton Springs Park. I know when she was here several weeks ago, she met with that volunteer group and asked them if they would take on some responsibility and help with that. And so we're trying to identify volunteers who can help us with this program. I have assigned a staff person to get the quotes for us for the host site. So we are moving forward with that, because I understand that's a stepping stone for some of our other parks, and that it's important that we complete this. But we are trying to work with the volunteer group to see if they can, you know, how much they want to take responsibility for.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like to see is one day, I would like to see one director that covered all parks and recreation. And that's all that person would do is parks and recreation, and that would come, I guess, boat ramps would come under that. And because I think that's a big enough entity that we could almost separate that into a department.
It'll come to that eventually.
I'll make a phone call.
Y'all go ahead. It'll come to that. If things grow, you know. Right now, I don't think it would be a full-time job for anybody. But.
I don't know. It's pretty.
It's a lot of
new pieces. It's a lot of stuff.
It'd take a lot of pressure off you to get somebody doing it, is what it would do.
It would enhance the facilities and all.
Right.
Like the Hampton Springs, I mean, it's kind of sitting there because we don't have a chief there.
I think that was the intent of the community services director position, but I think, you know, maybe we just need to take another look at something like that, and let the library be a separate piece from that, because everything's going very well at the library. I've not had a complaint.
It just needs to be recreation / parks, in my opinion, because that's a pretty big time. You do the sports complex and all these programs and all these parks. It's not quite a bit.
Yes.
I mean, I know we can't afford to do that right now, but, you know, we're talking about the future, and I'd sure like to see us, you know.
Realign.
We're thinking about
the future sense.
With this.
Need to be prepared for it now. It's coming.
So for right now with Hampton Springs, Dan, particularly, we're kind of depending on the volunteers to do what?
Well, I won't say we're depending on the volunteers. We've asked the volunteers if they would be interested in helping us manage that part. And so I'm working with Melody on that, as far as reassigning some of those duties. We're just kind of in at a flux right now, but I will address that in the next several months, and we'll get all of that squared away.
Jim, you're talking about they broke the fence down again?
Their fence was broke down.
I didn't hear
bathroom that. Doors are wide open. All that messed up.
Is there some kind of barricades that we can put out there that people can't drive through? Like those, what do you call them, those concrete things that you can...
Well, they tear up anything. They throw up them concrete markers we had down on Dixie out there, remember? They pull them up and all that stuff. The key to it is shutting that gate door. and open it at daylight. That riprap spinning donuts, tearing up all the grass and all that stuff, that's in late evening at night and all that stuff.
Then if we got people that can close up the sports complex and open it up, why can't we get somebody to open and close that down later then?
Probably because it's just further away. I can ask, but I think the key is going to be having that attendant there for that particular facility, because it's not just people coming in the gates, it's people coming through the woods.
They come and take out four-wheeler trails going over in mound, going in there. I mean, it's just a mess. And there's some liability right there. The last time I was down there was a rope hung on the tree where they could swing out into the river, you know.
Have we got signage down there? So if something does happen, we've got signs down there. No swinging from the trees, no ropes, no.
I thought we had place signs, but we'll double check on
that. You know, that way if something does happen. I'm just wondering, it seems like we're spinning our wheels here and we're stuck in the mud. And
we need somebody down there. We need to work again. Yes. Somebody to move down there. One lawsuit would cover all that expense we're going to do to get somebody to move down there. What, $25,000, wasn't it, allotted for that? To put up a trailer spot down there and put up a trailer.
For cameras and for.
Yeah. And then you want to fix the bathrooms again and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't realize there had been more damage there. I'll have to get somebody to go down there.
I hadn't walked in them lately, but doors slung while they were on them, and last time I looked there, they were tore up.
Well, we could get somebody, but if they see it, they'll shoot it out.
Yeah, there's no sense doing anything, waste any money on it, you get gates shut. And, you know, I mean, that's just people, they're going to mess it up. And they have spun donuts and tore up that field across the road where the horse trailer park was. And we don't have no horse trailer, no, I haven't seen one there in 15 years, you know, and that's. It don't have no gates on that, all that open out there, and they tore down part of the fence out there too. It's just we need somebody down.
Is there still paraphernalia being found down there?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure.
I mean, you know, that's
the place wrong.
You have the prison change, that shift change, that's a meeting place is what that is. Shift change, after the prison gets out, shift change, that's a meeting spot, what they tell me. You know, they all appear there together, or whatever, you know, after shift change.
And why after shift prison?
I reckon we're getting the cars ride the DWI, you know.
Run through the fence.
Yeah.
So when are these volunteers going to get back with whoever about their decision?
I'll follow up with her this week. And see where we are with that. We've just had so many priorities right now. But I'll follow up on it.
It's going to be a long time before we can get to the close. No matter what, talk about closing temporarily. If we do that, that song's going to ring on all of us.
Yeah.
You don't want to close it. There are some people do take care of it. Some people do go down and kick in the creek, and they carry the children down there, and they go on with all that kind of stuff. But I mean, new pressure bottles and everything down. I mean, it's a mess.
Could you close it even since the grant money was used to renovate it?
I think we probably could if it's
so temporary.
I don't think that's going to accomplish anything.
Let's just hear from the committee, and you know, they may be interested, they may not, but we do need a plan.
I'm interested in what the insurance company said lately. Have they said anything about
it? I don't think anything's changed since their last statement. So I wouldn't think their position has changed. I mean, we did put a fence up around the pool, and that was there the last time I checked. So I would hope that would lessen our liability. But
I can't drive a truck into that.
I ain't drove one in yet.
Pull it up, I reckon. Okay, number 17, as you vote ramp mobile home, that, you know, I look at every time I go by. And, you know, we need to, that's your district, so do you know what I'm talking about? You got some thoughts on that?
Well, if
if it's an eyesore, and I haven't heard anybody from the community complaining about it directly, but indirectly, I've heard complaining about it. I need to bring that to my constituents and find out what they want to do with it, or how, what they want us to do about it. I agree, it's an eyesore. It is.
Now, I do believe, LaWanda, you told me that there are some issues with the place. Is it really usable, or is it to the point that it needs to really be torn down? Or
I think we could renovate it, but the issue is that any organization we checked with, if they would be interested in it, it's the same issue comes up, is that it has to be ADA compliant, and we would have to purchase an elevator.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And so when you weigh that out, I don't know that it would be a good investment.
That place looks too raggedy to me to try to renovate.
That's more liability too.
More liability. I say give it to somebody who will move it.
We have a pending FEMA claim that's open for reimbursement for damage with the last storm. So I've been kind of waiting to see how that cycles through. We can either take it off the list for reimbursement and move.
You leave it on that list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leave it on there, and if we get enough money, tear it down.
Okay.
Now, what can we do on that property after we tear that building down? Can
we not extend the
more parking? That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. Yes. That would give what? How many spaces would that yield?
Three or four?
I was going to say four, maybe.
About four, depending on the size of the vehicle we're going to post. But any available space would be warm, you know, they would love it down there, whether it be 1 or 100.
Well, you know, it would be better use of the space to park them in as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, my concern as well is with dilapidated buildings entices a certain crowd of people.
That's right. I like what you
So that's, I want to try to get rid of that.
One way or the other.
If somebody maybe wanted to purchase it and haul it off, I can't imagine anybody want to do that, but.
What do you mean, out of metal? People use it for getting
it from
metal.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because you got, it's up in the air,
right.
And you've got the high mover to move it. I think it's moving it costs more than buying a new one.
Probably would.
It cost $5,000 to get a crane to set that off there.
Set it off for the house. The other house door, you
can
jack it up, then you got to lower it down if you can even move it.
Put axles back on it and everything else to move it.
If that mobile home is predated prior to some date that Danny can tell us about, you can't move the thing. And you can't just get a permit to set it up anywhere in the county.
That's right. Yes, sir. It's kind of a thing that needs to go away.
I hate it.
Nobody would want it to tear it down to halt to have the metal, but they'd have to take everything else with them too.
It might.
I hate it that we did at one time invest some money in that. I think we put a new roof on it and things like that. But I would say, I mean, if it's, we've just not been able to resolve it with, after all these years, staff can't identify any function. And we talked about a marine agent using that for an office,
yeah.
But we can't open it up to the public because it's not compliant. So,
well, when would any of the FEMA money go towards demolition, or is it just for repair?
I don't think it matters once we receive the reimbursement, does it? Then we can use it for, it's just to,
you could put it up for bid.
As long as it's for that.
And let people bid on it to haul it off.
Yeah. How much would you charge to get rid
of it? Right. Well, nobody.
You have to pay for all the metal.
You have to pay for all the metal, and we'll give you $300.
Yep. I mean, somebody might want it and be willing to move it.
Okay, so what do we want to do? Do we want to wait on FEMA?
I would say let's wait on FEMA and see what type of value they assign and what type of reimbursement we receive, just because I hate to turn my nose up at that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Number 8, assisted living facility. I know that we can't build a living assisted living facility, but there's a need in Taylor County. And I know the TCDA, I haven't heard anything else about this project. It's almost like it's been dropped.
I had heard of some private people that were interested in it, but how do we go about starting the process for somebody to do that other than us? I mean,
well, that sounds like a TCDA.
Just bring it back up under there, and I mean, we really need that here in Taylor mm-hmm. County. And we used up some of the land out at the hospital for the tax collector and the property appraiser. We would still have.
We've got plenty of room there.
We've
got plenty of room.
Well,
the old hospital, what are we going to. We talked about that being a facility one time.
Well, that's up for sale.
Up for bid now.
Let me, if I may, share on assisted living. A local businessman called me, I can't remember if he called me or if we talked eyeball to eyeball, but he said, have you heard anything about the assisted living facility? And I shared with him that we at one time had agreed with the TCDA that we would allocate 5 acres of land out near the hospital. But I haven't heard anything about it. I said, I did hear a rumor that the Everetts were talking about putting one out there behind, the Hampton, the Holiday Inn. And I said, I don't know whether that's true or not. He said, well, I'm a small player in this, but there's about 3 of us that are doing our due diligence to try to get a facility in here. And he said, if you all ever hear anything or discuss this, let me know. So I can call him back and say, we discussed it, and we don't know any more than what I already shared with you. But from what he told me, there is this group of local investors who are, and he says, you know, we've got to do due diligence on our end, because we've got to come up with at least $500,000 to get this facility moving. So he didn't indicate whether or not the site that they had in mind would be the 5 acres or not. As far as I'm concerned, we need one here. And if it takes the 5 acres to get the right people here, I'm still willing to do that. Yeah. I'd share that for all the information I've got.
Now, what about, I know Bob Sheffield at one time.
Well, he was adamantly opposed, and I told this investor, if we talk about the hospital, we've got to deal with Bob Sheffield. And he said, well, if Bob wants to donate the land, put it there in my other place. And I said, Bob told me, this has been a couple years ago, that he would be willing to maybe give an acre.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
But maybe. But anyway, that's still a problem that you, and you know, it's going to have to be dealt with if you use that.
There's property right there that the lodgers are still on right behind.
Yeah, right behind.
And that's available. And that was, I think that's what threw a kink in that company coming here that was talking about doing it on our property, because Bob had some kind of deal with them on that lodger's property.
Well, Bob had talked to them first. And then the same group is the one that Scott Frederick was talking to. And that's what got Bob all upset.
That's exactly the way I heard it.
The way I heard it. And he summoned me out there to his office for him.
Me too.
County Commissioner Summit. And he's one of my constituents, and he's a friend. And he's like most other people that are successful in life. Donald Trump all down, they're in it sometimes for themselves. It doesn't make any difference. It's that Bob's place. It's a good location near the hospital.
We just need one.
We just need one. But 1 acre is not big enough. No.
I know a couple of my constituents told me back when all of this, you know, we thought we were really going somewhere with this. And he told me, he said, we want this, he said, and me and my wife will sign up as soon as there's time comes that we can sign up to move there.
I've had people tell me the same thing.
And he said, we don't want to go out of town. Well, that was what, two couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Both of them are gone now. Both of them are gone. Yeah. One of them ended up going to Mayo. And, you know, that's just real sad. We've got a lot of people.
We got a lot of people.
You know, and Mayo can have 2.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Why can't we, you know? Sure. What's wrong with this?
There's Lima, Monticello, Mayo.
Down Park?
Yeah.
I just don't understand what's wrong here.
Like my mother-in-law,
my daughter worked in all them facilities and what she worked in one in Crawfordville. She traveled back and forth to Crawfordville, worked for Mayo and Lima and everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, and she said there's nice places in Mayo. Yeah, I haven't been over there. She said they're real nice. It's getting somebody to step up the plate and spend that money to get it here. That's what it takes.
Well, I agree with LaWanda. The TCBA should be the lead on this.
Well, I can ask for a status of that project.
That needs to be on our next agenda over there to see, you know, what's going on with that. Okay, speed bumps. We talked about this, Commissioner Murphy, a couple of years ago. I think it was a couple of years ago. I don't remember for sure. I did last year about speed humps at Keaton Beach on the main road, you know, going down to the park. And, you know, I have a house there, and so I have the opportunity to really observe what goes on there from time to time. And even in the off season, there are people that just, I don't know how fast they're going, but I know they're going fast. And then during the off season, there's still people with golf clubs, there's still people walking, there's still some children. But then pretty soon, we're fixing to have a lot of visitors down there with a lot of children and a lot of people walking and a lot of, and there's just no way that, the only way that we can control that speed through there is with speed humps. But I think the policy, the one that says 100% of the people have to agree.
I believe so.
To me, that's an outrageous requirement.
That would be impossible.
No matter what project you're trying to do, speed humps or stop sign or whatever, you're never going to have 100%. So that says that no new project can ever get off the ground. I think that's an unfair expectation.
That doesn't sound plausible. I mean, that doesn't sound realistic to say you have to have 100%.
Yeah, and to me, I'd like to see that change. But now, there'll be people for sure and certain that would not want the speed humps.
Right.
But what is our job? What is our job? Our job is to ensure the safety, health, and welfare of the citizens of Taylor County.
Right.
That's our job.
Well, you're right about that, and I've observed that, you know, just walking, riding bikes or whatnot, and, you know, these people are getting 80, 90 miles an hour. I mean, they're flying.
Believe me, it's scary.
It is scary.
It is very scary. We've got a lot of golf carts.
Right, and we thought, my grandfather brought that up years ago, and he said, you know, these are speed bumps in there, but not the traditional little speed bumps.
No, humps.
Right, those nice sweeping, okay, where it forces you to go down. You know, the water, I mean, it's a dead end down there, and for people to be speeding down to a dead end doesn't make any lot of sense, but if you put speed bumps in there, that would be used.
Speed humps. We talked about it before, and they've thrown up the fact that it's dangerous for motorcycles. Well, it's dangerous for buses, I reckon, but anything is dangerous.
Or anything else.
You got to put up signs. Just like in other towns, they don't let that inhibit them. They put up the signs. Speed hump ahead. Speed hump ahead. Everywhere there's one, there's a sign.
Mr. Fiegel, just, I had heard 100% as well, but it's not 100%. It's 66% in support. And then if they are to be removed, it's the same number, 66% and funding. And then funding. So on the policy, and the policy hasn't been approved by the board, but 3C lays out, well, number 3 lays out the procedure.
66%.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds. That's still
high, but that's 66% of the district,
66% of the region?
It's
the county, the state?
Six of the residential dwelling units on the street.
Oh, on the street?
On the street.
Okay, well, so.
Talk about that street. If they drive, two-thirds of the people have the street.
Well, it's adjacent streets as well, and the Public Works Department determines that. So I think that's the sound that they hear.
Turn it off there when you put the speed up.
That may be impacted.
At the boat ramp intersection, Cedar Island Road, and you speed up it all the way down.
Right, just as you get past that intersection.
But are any of the roads there at all?
Right about that.
Except for one going to the trailer park, you know, there.
Right.
That's not really a street.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. 66.
I'll have to start asking that question.
We can always amend the ordinance and change that.
As a hypothetical, not.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna look at. Well, I'm not a full-time permanent resident. And if there's opposition, more than likely it would come from.
Permanent residents.
It would come from permanent residents who have to go over them every day and.
Yeah.
But again, our job is to protect the safety, health, and welfare of the citizens. There's a lot of people down there during certain times and it is very dangerous.
I know, if you're traveling, it's gonna be your safety to be in an area like that. Me with that street, I don't travel as much, but.
Need to start back up there to come and slow.
Yeah, start slowing down out there. Out there at intersection.
Intersection, and then they need to get side of the boat, the other way going towards Cedar Island, other side of the boat ramp, and slow them down where all them people parking in the ditch.
And officials.
If we had the sheriff writing tickets, because he said we spent all this money putting up no parking signs, and there's 100 boats parked on the side of the road. If the sheriff went out, or the deputies went out there in one day, how much revenue they'll turn out there. And that's what bothers me a lot, you know, that when you put up signs that says no parking. If I park there, I know I'm getting ticketed.
Me too.
Okay. And so it's an issue of creating a safety atmosphere, looking at all the parameters involved with that. If they started issuing tickets to the people who are parked on the side of the road, that's going to solve that problem. Or tow their vehicles like they do in other counties. Okay. Now, if you put the speed bumps up as well, that's going to reduce the measure of the speeding. Have we had any, I hate to say it like this, but have we had anybody die past that on the road there due to accidents?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of.
It's just a matter of time. But.
If you condone it, you accept the liability for it.
Right.
And what you do.
You're right. Now, when
I condone people parking in that ditch and let them do it, you're accepting the liability of somebody getting run over then.
But here's the problem. Where are these people going to park? When they drive all the way from out of town and there's nowhere to park, what are they going to do when they got a truckload of youngins and a boat and all their stuff's packed up? Where are they going to park?
Go ahead.
I think we do allow parking on the right of way in a lot of areas because that's the only way.
The only way they can park.
So we do allow that, and I'm sure there's prohibited areas, but our county ordinance doesn't prohibit people from utilizing right-of-way for parking.
That's understandable. But when there are signs there, mm-hmm. and they've been there for a long time.
And let me also draw the board's attention to number 6 on this draft policy.
That park says who's going to pay.
Yes, sir.
I thought you'd get to that.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad it said.
So, I don't think this... I can't find that this. I'm not sure when this.
The residents shall be responsible.
This won't work. Number 6 won't work.
That needs to be taken out.
We cannot do that. We need to amend this thing. Why don't we do this? I'm going to make an implementation.
Yeah.
Everybody take this home.
Right.
This amendment.
And go back over it and mark it up. Yep. Whatever you want took off, or whatever you want changed, or whatever you want added. And let's bring it back to the next workshop that we have, I guess the end of this month.
March 26th.
And then we can make a decision on what we're going to do. Busy time's coming, spring break's coming up, which, you know, we're all in agreement to do this. We're going to come back. We're talking about spring break. Have we done anything? I know this is your, Commissioner, your you know, Hodges Park, but are we, have we done anything down there?
The Hodges Park?
Yeah. I mean, the sand is closed, so all that stuff has been taken care of?
I don't know that we're complete, but I know because of the situation with the weather, but we are trying to finish up the project that we had going on down there now. Now, the last time I asked, I was told nobody even sees any sand spurs. They picked up seaweed along the beach area. They will be painting and pressure washing. They're working on that now. So I think we'll be in the Hodges Park and the restrooms at the boat ramp.
Okay. If somebody needs to have a container of Roundup with them when they go down there, and when they see anything green popping up out there in that sand, hit it with that Roundup.
I thought I had spoken with Hank about that.
Okay.
And although he did, I believe he told me that there are some citizens who are very opposed to us using chemicals like that. But
they really have the sand spurs?
Well, I think we can. We'll address it.
Do that on the cover of Doc.
Well, now moving forward, if we what is our plan for, you know, pretty soon when people really start using that and children are out of school and all, in terms of keeping it clean, keeping plenty of paper and towels and trash pickup?
I mean, the inmates are typically there every Monday.
I'll usually go down there and sit with the dog in the truck when they do that. Because I've heard some people talk about people put stuff out for the inmates to take in the prison.
Yeah.
So when I see the work crew coming, I just throw the dog in the truck and I'll put it on the block and make sure as a safety precaution.
Well, they have a guard with them.
I understand that, but that's just one. And there's seven or eight of them. And I live there too, so I don't want them coming my way if they're running. But we sit there and watch them. We do. And I'm sure there's other people that sit there and watch them. Yeah. But
clean up once a week is not adequate, though.
Not at the current time.
No, it takes money. I know money's solved everything.
Well, and I know we've had citizens request that we keep, you know, we put extra toilet paper and paper towels. Everything that we place there leaves just as fast as we put it there.
Right.
So it's difficult to stock because of what happens with the supplies. They either walk off or they end up down the toilets, and then we have
it. Wet room.
Could you put one of those big round toilet tissue things on the wall, put it up high enough, and
get one sliver of tent in a hand,
and
wash your hands and put it under the dryer. That eliminates paper towel. Cover.
I mean, I'll see if we can. You know, we do try, especially, you know, and I feel like a lot of times we wait to see where we have to concentrate our efforts, because sometimes it seems like everyone goes to Keaton, and then the next year they're all at Student Hatchie. So we do, and I will say that when we have our public works department there, they always take extra paper towels and toilet paper and try to keep up with the restrooms and, you know, direct traffic. I mean, I feel like we have, you know, it's in our workforce.
We've been doing the best we can, and I don't mean to sound like a criticism, but I'm only trying to find solutions to a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when our public works is there when they can, but we need, I don't know how, because I know it's a money issue, but we need a schedule. So that it's not if somebody happens to be by or when they can. It's our only public beach in Taylor County, and a lot of people do use it, and a lot of travelers turn off of 19 and go down there. Somehow or another, we need to figure out how we can have, I tell you, during the summer, ideally, you would have daily somebody to come in every night and clean it and early one in the morning and clean it and restock it. But I mean, I know that's in our budget, but that's what needs to happen.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's your only beach-like focal point of the county, we need to take care of it.
Well, we got to have the money, so that's the thing.
Let me think about an idea that just kind of popped in my head, and let me speak to an employee who I know is there on a regular basis during the summer, and see if we can just stock him with supplies, mm-hmm. and at least, you know, pop into the restrooms for me while he's there doing something else, and maybe we can keep a better eye on it that way.
Well, right. We look into the cost of one of those big toilet tissue things that goes on the wall, because I mean, they could bust it open, I reckon, but I mean, it's easier to take off normal toilet tissue, I guess, if you don't have any at home. I don't mind if I do that, or they put it in their truck so they got it in the woods. That's the way it goes.
Right.
But we did that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm mostly going to give a report because I don't have.
Jim
knows the road I'm talking about. Now, the reason I asked this to be put on the agenda is I had a call from a young man who has taken kind of roots. That's his name, Lamar Matthews. Lamar's mother was married right home. Betty Jean's mother. And he came to see his mother, and he called my house, and I returned his call, and he lived in Thomasville, but he bought a house. And I think the house he must have bought, Jim, is the one right at the foot of the bridge.
Right.
Yes.
But Lamar's got local connections. Good educator, job at Thomasville, bought a house. And he said, I want to talk to you about the road. That's from 14 to that bridge that's unsafe to cross. And I explained to him that that road right away belongs to Mr. George McKay. It's a private road, and that we can't do any work on private roads. And he said, now I will try to reach out to FWC, Fishing Game Commission, because they maintain some of the road on the east side of the bridge, as I understand.
That's one river.
Well, I found out after contacting FWC, after you cross the bridge, there's a section of land on Swan River. And it gets some maintenance in Swan River. And then you get into some Four River land, and that's private land, they do that. And then you get into some of that Pitramel Wildlife Management, and the FWC does some maintenance there. Well, about a year ago, I'd say, FWC was hauling multiple loads, like 35 loads of lime rock a day across that road and that old unsafe bridge to go there and put on the Billy Martin Bridge. Well, I've talked to this FWC employee, official, and she told me that that section of road is not in the Big Bend Wildlife area. It is not under the jurisdiction of FWC. That FWC has prohibited any of their dump trucks, the lime rock, across that old unsafe bridge. And she says, the concrete grade is cabled off at 98. We can't get the dump trucks down that because Four River is supposedly close to doing maintenance on the road. So we can't even carry any lime rock over there. And she said, I can't give you any lime rock or anything to put on that road, that private road, because this money that we use in the Big Bend Wildlife Management areas is federal money. And we have to account for that lime rock just as the county does. You know, we can't use the county funds to make it. So, the whole point is that nobody will claim the ownership of the bridge. Nobody will claim maintenance on that less than a quarter of a mile of road. She did tell me that in the past that there have been a couple of partial loads of lime rock
that FWC has put on the road and they sent the grader in there and graded it. But they can't do that on a regular basis. And they did that because they were tearing it up. Now, I just got this information Tuesday night from the lady I was at a meeting she was at, and she filled me in on all these details. So I don't have a solution to the problem unless some private citizen wants to spend thousands of dollars if I don't line up in. Now, there is one thing we can do. Early on in my career as a county commissioner, when Jack Brown was here, the ditch from Highway 14 going into the river there was clogged up so bad. So Mr. Charles Mitchell contacted me and he wanted something done about that ditch. And Jack Brown and I went out and met with Jack, with Charles Mitchell. Jack Brown and I, Charles Mitchell, met on the road. And Jack agreed that this is a county drainage ditch. Mm-hmm. And we went in and cleaned out the ditch with the grade off. And, you know, little buttonwoods growing in and crud in the ditch. We cleaned all that out. That was a drainage ditch. And I think, Lawanda can check this out, that after we had our dump trucks in, haul off that mud and all that stuff, and the great oil tracks all in the road, we may have gone in and swiped the road one time to clean our mess up. I'm not saying that we need to spend any money unless the ditch needs to be cleaned out again. And Jim goes right by there every week up here.
Yes,
it's pretty bad.
The hurricane caught the ditch up with a bunch of limbs and stuff.
But I remember I asked him to get with Charles Mitchell and it covered there. They had some.
Yeah, they cleaned that. Charles cleaned it out.
Charles did clean it out.
He cleaned it out. But I called FWC last week about it. And Jimmy Mullen works for them and does all the grader operating and all that kind of stuff. He said that he hauled 28 loads of lime rock on that road between the bridge and the highway one time. And the agreement they had, they graded it one time.
Yeah.
And then Charles Mitchell was going to keep it up after that because him and McKay, they were in kind of partnership with that trailer park and all that kind of stuff. But all the people going to Hickory Mound now are beating holes in that road.
That's what it is. That's all it is.
All the traffic's going right through there. But now there's holes between the bridge and the checking station where Four Rivers Land Park. There's bad holes in the road there too now. They got all beat out.
Yeah, that's water management.
And that's water for the river. And then when you get to Rattlesnake Grade, it turns into Four Rivers. It goes all the way down to Coker Grade and it turns into FWC again.
Yeah.
And Four Rivers is not going to fix the road unless they're logging there. Yeah. You know, and they tell me they can't haul logs across the bridge anymore because of the liability of it falling in. And, but Oliver Rowell carried the head man for FWC down there the other day and wrote through the whole thing, explained it to him. He was with Weaver Lockridge when they built that bridge.
Yeah.
Well, Weaver Lockridge sold it to Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble sold it to Holy Land and Timber. And then Holy Land and Timber and them sold it and walked back over to one river man, you know, between the bridge and the checker station. And
he said that's the bridge part.
But I talked to Four Rivers about it. I talked to all of them about it. Nobody wants to claim that bridge. But we could take possession of that bridge at Denver Domain or whatever they call it. Okay, and then we would be liable for the bridge. That would put the liability on us if it fell in with somebody.
Or to replace it, which we can't afford it.
And it's a $3 million bridge, what they tell me,
yeah.
If you replace it. But right now, it could be sandblasted and painted underneath and some metal work done and save it. You know, you could save it, but it keeps getting to the point where it's going to be where you can't save it. And nobody wants to claim it, but if Four Rivers finally decided they did leave that gate on Cow Creek, FWC, if it falls in, they wouldn't have nowhere to go to Hickory Mound. I mean, it's a mess.
It's a mess down there. But I don't have the answer.
Only if he's trying to work out some solution with FWC and Swanee River, and he's the man for that. He knows all them people on first name basis, and he is working in that direction. And Jimmy Mullins, that worked for FWC, told me he'd be glad to grade that, but his boss won't let him grade it.
Same thing that I got from Sharon Hester. You know, the wildlife biologist Sharon Hester, with a pretty girl with the ponytail.
Yeah.
She goes to our church, plays the piano for us. And she told me basically everything she said.
Right.
To educate me. I don't know anything we can do to that room. I certainly am not in favor of adding any roads to the county road paving list because we are up in that door. You've opened the gate.
We can't do that, but we'd be opening up a can of worms and adding one road. But I think there's going to be a solution to it. FWC is going to have to do something because their traffic is what's tearing it up now.
Right.
And they feel kind of responsible is what I got to drift in the conversation. But they've got so much issues that they're trying to repair Hickory Mound right now that the hurricane messed up last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't. And they're having
and they can't get all rock.
But now, Four River is fixing to be through with a culvert putting in, and then the road could be opened back up.
You think since that lawsuit, they'll have road get back up, Jim?
Do what?
Yeah, they had a lawsuit.
Right.
Big lawsuit.
Right.
Somebody got burned because they ran into an electric line.
Right.
Yeah, it was a big one. Tri-County got it named as a defendant in the lawsuit.
Right.
Only, and I'm telling you, I doubt they'll ever open it. That's just my thing.
Right. Well, they put that gate up for a reason, because of liability, what they call them. And I mean, you can't find that's their land.
Their land and their road.
And y'all, I don't know if y'all saw the video of the people playing in the ditches up and down the road. That was on YouTube. It's unreal. They almost closed up when they went and put the post up. Now they've got the gates up. So. They might open it back up to say they are, but you don't dare not doubt it.
Who owns Hickory Mound?
FWC does.
FWC. Well, then you would think that FWC would figure out a way to make it accessible for everybody.
That's what I would want, Jim. But then you're dealing with Four Rivers, Swanee River Water Management, and McKay. So it turns into a real issue.
I would imagine that somebody with Charles Mitzley's influence, Bobby Stefanelli, that Mr. McKay would be glad to give that section of land out by the way. 6 foot wide, maybe almost.
He can't close it, no way.
They can't close it.
Under the corner of all.
I just bet Mr. McKay would just be willing to just, if you all would take it over and maintain it, I'd give it to you. But I understand that it could be a water system, main water line down the center of that road. Which would be a, you know, it's not an insurmountable thing, but you can't do much digging in there.
He needs to give it to FWC or somebody pointing River Water Management.
Anyway, I'll encourage all of you to work on this. And glad he's working on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a too late to sort anyway you look at that, y'all there.
All right, that's our report.
Okay, last one.
It's been any money.
The last soccer game we had recently, there was somebody vaping, and I mean, it was horrible, the whole thing. And even before that, I had seen somebody, at this time happened to be the whole game. And so we don't need people vaping in our parks. I mean, especially like at the sports complex or any of them, where you've got children.
Yeah.
And if you can't smoke tobacco, I know that vaping is tobacco use anyway, right? Well,
I don't know. There are, from what I understand, there's like a nicotine-free e-cigarette. So I had initially assumed that vaping would be covered under our current ordinance that is tobacco-free. But I think what I need to do is check maybe with Conrad to see if we can just consider vaping to be covered under this art ordinance, or if we can outlaw all vaping, whether it contains tobacco.
That's right. You don't know if it's got nicotine in or not. If children see people is smoking,
yeah,
is smoking irregardless.
Right.
And so for me, as one commissioner, no vaping of anything.
Right. Now, what about introducing ignition devices into the facilities? Because that's what that is considered, an ignition device. Now, I used to have a firearm shop on Asher, and I was repairing firearms, and I had powder and priming and everything else. And when somebody would come in vaping, and they said, well, it's not tobacco. I said, well, I don't care what it is. It's an ignition device. So that may be one way to look into that, to see if we ban or not allowing ignition devices into the facilities. That may be a way.
I'm going to probably answer that first. Yeah, I'm with Commissioner Beagle. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see any vaping anywhere.
Right. So our current ordinance may cover that, or we could just add vaping to our signs, but I think I need to double check and make sure that there isn't a loophole.
We can amend this.
Sure.
We could be a tobacco free and vaping free facility.
Yeah.
Or an ignition device facility.
Yeah.
I already want to say it, but we need to outlaw that.
Yeah. Because the children were up there. The children that were not playing, standing there, had to endure that the whole night. Then when they took their water breaks and all, they had to endure that. It just kept going. It never stopped. I'm like, oh, this is very offensive.
So I can check with Conrad and bring this back to the board for consideration.
I'm all for amending to prohibit vaping.
Is everybody on board?
Yes, so, no doubt.
So, and can we have it ready? Well, we can't do it for Monday night's meeting, can we? Okay, well, soon as possible.
I'd eat rather stand by somebody smoking a good old smelly cigarette than I have that vaping.
Well, and this would apply to all parks, like Hodges Park, all parks. Yes.
Courthouse. They've been bought and everything else now.
Listen, that thing just got out of control. People, you wouldn't believe the people that I'm hearing about that's doing that. And now they're trying to pass legislation, so that they can, smoke it, they can vape it out, and they can do it anywhere.
It's coming.
Just so against.
Some say it's going that way.
But anyway. Anybody else? Do you have anything else to talk about today?
No, anything else.
Gary?
I think we're covered on.
Commissioner?
No, ma'am.
Anybody else? I don't either. Just go ahead. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord and staff, and the Sheriff's Department. Thank you. This was good. How did it come in?